early.
The bond was in trouble.
All right, how's that sound?
Call this meeting to order. Requirements of the Open Public Meeting Law, PL 1975, Chapter 231, have been satisfied, and that adequate notice of this meeting has been published in the Star Gazette and posted on the bulletin board at Borough Hall, stating the time, place, and purpose of the meeting as required by law. Would you all please rise and join me in saluting our flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we do the roll call, we have to appoint our acting borough clerk, as Ms. Blanchard had a family emergency. She will not be able to attend tonight. That's Resolution 105-2011, which is on your desk.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Thank you, Ms. Gildoff.
Now may I have a roll call?
Saliba?
Here.
Flores?
Here.
McDonald?
Here.
Valentine?
Here.
White?
Here.
First up, we have a proclamation for Jim Messina, who I see is in the audience. Come on up, Jim.
This is a proclamation of the Borough of Washington. Whereas Jim Messina of Messina Wildlife has generously donated his time, materials, and plants for the Oak Barrel Planters since 2008, and whereas plants have been proven to improve both air quality and support eco-friendly decorative initiatives, and whereas streetscape aesthetics contribute to a positive quality of life for the residents and visitors of Washington Borough, and whereas beautification of the borough and enhancement of its streetscape is beneficial to the Washington Borough community, now therefore be it resolved by the Mayor and Council of the Borough of Washington in the County of Warren, State of New Jersey, that the appreciation of the community is hereby expressed to Jim Messina for his contribution and service to the residents of the Borough of Washington. Be it further resolved that the Borough Clerk be directed to have this proclamation duly embossed for presentation by the Mayor of the Borough of Washington on June 8, 2011, and to have a certified copy of this proclamation recorded in the permanent record of the Borough of Washington in perpetuity.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay, next up we have the minutes of the meeting of May 17th.
Motion to move minutes.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on anything in the minutes? Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Yes.
Corey?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Steven?
Yes.
Boyd?
Yep. Okay. Sorry, I didn't need a roll call on that. But we'll do it. We did it anyway. Now the executive session minutes of May 17th, 2011.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Correspondence.
Make a motion to file the correspondence.
Okay, any discussion?
We are, for the one from Mayor Elbasani, we are going to support this.
We can, after we receive and file. If you'd like to make a motion to that effect, we can do so.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Boyle, would you like to make a motion to...
I would, Mayor. Thank you. For the correspondence for the resolution for fair distribution of state aid for education.
Okay, so you want us to do our own resolution?
Yeah, in support of...
Okay. Right, is there a second to have that motion prepared?
Second.
Okay, is there any other discussion on it? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, anything else from correspondence?
I'll make the motion to show support for the Washington Historical Society. It's like a municipal resolution of support.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Okay, and that's for the Campbell Cultural Heritage House.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's for a grant application?
Well, no, this is just showing our...
So they could obtain it, right?
Yeah, with the grant application.
Very interesting. I had no idea.
I read it in the report when it first came out.
The letter is from Ms. McNeil. Is there somebody here who could speak to this a little bit? Is there any wording in the resolution that's necessary to help you with the grant application?
Can I get that to you? Mrs. Grove's daughter, Pat Benton, is in charge of it, and she's doing all the writing.
Okay.
And there are criteria that have to be observed by the state for the grant, so...
Okay. If you can get that and forward it to Mr. Phelan for anything like that, or if they have a sample resolution, and we'll be happy to pass that for you.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Okay, we have the motion by Mrs. Gleba. Is there any other discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions?
I would like to talk about the early termination of the MOI.
MOU.
MOU.
Okay.
Yeah, MOI.
Okay.
All right. Because we've done everything that they said, this is what I get from this, that we can be let off the hook early.
I'm sorry.
Okay. For our transitional lease, we had to sign a memorandum of understanding that everything had to go through the state, all our contracts and all of that other stuff, right? Anytime we had to spend $8. And because the way I interpret this, because we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, they're letting us off the hook early?
That's not entirely correct. The reason they're letting off all the small municipalities is if we choose to, which again I don't recommend, but the reason they're letting everyone off is the reason they're offering this to the smaller municipalities is because the memorandum of agreement was designed for large cities, not small municipalities. So they're giving. Hello? Can you hear that now? I mean, you can hear it? One of the reasons is because it's designed for large municipalities and large cities, not small municipalities. So they're affording smaller ones the opportunity to leave should they choose to.
Okay, so why don't we want to do this?
But there's a big caveat. Number two on the page of the agreement is that you would not be able to apply for aid for any of the budgets through calendar year 2013.
Now, from a practical standpoint...
I mean, hopefully we don't need it, but you'd be giving up your...
From a practical standpoint, we're not going to need them to approve anything for the remainder of the year. All of your professional appointments have been made. Come January of next year, December 31st, rather, of this year, the agreement's over. So when you reappoint or appoint new professionals at the reorg meeting in January, the contract's over. The agreement's over, so it's not needed. So for the next 6 months, it's really not interfering with anything at all. If you step down from it now, there's a chance that you could hurt yourself next year if you need additional aid for whatever reason.
Or 2013.
So we have nothing to gain by terminating it, but a few things to potentially lose.
Rich, in your letter were you done, Dave?
Yeah.
In your letter to us,
mm-hmm.
The first paragraph, I believe like the last sentence, you stated that nearly all the conditions are minor.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at two conditions from the state here.
Well,
are there others that they sent to you? Or?
No. The conditions, what I meant by that is nearly all the conditions of the MOU are minor.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, okay. Correct.
What are the additional contracts?
They need to approve any professional service contract is the largest one, and any hiring of additional personnel, which they've done for this year already.
Are there anything else, or that's it?
Those are the largest two. The other is certain. We also had to pass a pay-to-play ordinance. We do that December of last year. Quarterly meetings, I have to go down there. They have to approve grants. In and of itself, nothing major. I mean, I'll be happy to forward you a copy of the MOU if you like it.
What's your feeling then, Councilman?
Well, listen, the information that we received for, from the budget workshop that we shouldn't need any additional aid next year, right?
Look, if you're going to ask me to sit here and say one, I can't say that the earth will be spinning tomorrow. I can't guarantee anything. I mean, I would not want to cut off my nose to spite my face. It's not harming us now. I would hate to find out that something catastrophic happens, we need to apply for aid, and because we decided to get out of this agreement 6 months early, it's going to hurt us. But again, that's my opinion.
That's it for that discussion?
I need to know. Well, I think it would like to be prudent as well, so I would agree with this, you know.
To leave everything in place?
Leave it in place, for sure.
Okay. Mrs. Gleeve, you feel the same way?
No, absolutely, yeah.
Mr. Boyle?
I'm on a fence, but I think I would lean towards that to keep as is until the actual deadline of the 31st of December.
Okay.
My opinion.
And Mr. Higgins?
Council spoken.
Okay. At this point, I'd like to open up the audience portion for remarks, petitions, statements, and testimony from guests that's not otherwise on the agenda.
Yes, ma'am.
Sure.
Hello, how are you? I've been here this year in October. I don't know. You'll remember when I say the word last year.
She can't hear you. If you could speak into the microphone.
Well, I'm sorry. To me, I'm having a hard time hearing myself. I really don't think these mics are working. Is that? Can you hear me now? All right. Let's start again. Okay. I was here in October, and in relation to the Glass-Steagall, which this country needs. And has to shut down these derivatives.
It's really important.
I'd like to hear what you have to say. All right, I'll step back here and I'll use the mic. Can you hear me? Everybody should really listen to this because we're all citizens of this country and we all know the mortgage mess that has been going on. And unless we change it, when the country gets back on track and the mortgage situation is straightened out, it's in danger of happening again unless we get this reintroduced into law. They took the safeguards, the government, our government. Doesn't matter which president was when it happened, when it what is wrong is back in 1933, this Glass-Steagall was put into effect. And in the 90s, it was removed, which allowed the banking industry, specifically the commercial banks, to get into the mortgage business, which they should not be in. Years ago, 40 years ago, when I had an FAH mortgage myself, I happened to be 76 years old. I may not look it, but I was around back then working for a local bank. Local banks used to handle mortgages, savings and loan banks, in the community where you lived. The government should not have anything to do with our mortgages in this country. As I said, I was here in October. There was a different bill. Now there's a new, bigger, better bill. This was introduced April 12, 2011, Return to Prudent Banking Act of 2011. This is to revive the separation between commercial banking and the securities business in the manner provided in the Banking Act of 1933, which was the so-called Glass-Steagall Act. We've got to get this provision back into law. We have to prevent this mortgage fiasco from ever happening again. It was in the law from way back to 1933 until the 90s. It's what they did when they removed this provision. It was like quick check. on every other corner. It was like a storefront in a strip mall. A guy could be a delivery pizza sales guy last week, and hey, he could be writing out mortgages this week. They turned it into like a puppy mill of writing mortgages. It's wrong. Mortgages should be home with the home communities. They shouldn't be part of the federal government and the FHA and all of that, so that they can be sold around the world and be involved in the securities and everybody making money and nobody knowing who has their mortgage. I had a mortgage for 35 years. I don't know who had it in the end when they finally paid it off, when they started selling these mortgage packages all over the place. It's something that was really a crime against the citizens of our country. So I'm here now again to ask you to consider sending a resolution into Congress. There's a new bill in Congress now. They've got 15 people signed on sponsoring the bill. There's a bill being worked on in the Senate. So we need to let the Congress and the Senate know that the people, the regular citizens, walk in every town of this country, that the citizens know about this. That's my purpose of being here. And I get out every night of the week. There's a council meeting in one town or another. I have a letter here from one of the sponsors of this new bill. It's her letter to the other congresspeople to get more congress members signed on to this bill. And you all could get a copy of this new bill. It's H.R. 1489. This is the bill, H.R. 1489. And I have a copy of a resolution here that you may want to use. Let's see, where did it go? The thing of it is, this is so upsetting to me because I worked for a bank all those years ago. They didn't even have collections departments 40 years ago. When I was there, if somebody didn't pay their mortgage, the head teller of the bank called them up. People used to take their responsibility of paying their mortgage. And then the last bank I worked for, I became a collector of delinquent mortgages. I handled FHA stuff. So that's why I get so emotional about this, because I've lived it. And I know how wrong it is. It's got to go back to the people. Mortgages belong in the hands of the people, not the federal government. We've got to get this Glass-Steagall, that particular thing, back in the records. So I'll give you a couple of copies of this. Now, this particular organization, this political organization, it doesn't matter. I don't know if anybody cares about this organization. That's not the point. This is not a Republican or Democrat thing. This is for your children, your grandchildren, and I personally now have great-grandchildren. And I want this country mortgage situation to be as it used to be 40 years ago. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Have you considered going to some of the town hall meetings for, like, Congressman Garrett or, you know, Senator Lance, like reaching out to the our state federal legislators, not...
Well, but government...
They're the ones that have to become sponsors of it.
They have to be made aware that the general public...
But by you speaking at those town hall meetings, they'll be made aware.
Yes, I will do that. Yeah. But now, with this bigger, better, newer bill, and there are more people coming on to it now, and now there's a Senate bill being worked on, and so now is the time to make a move on this. So I'd appreciate it if you all would really consider this, and when I come back in 2 weeks, that you're going to be voting
on a resolution, if you're going to, you know, send in a resolution to Congress and the Senate.
Okay, we will consider it again.
Is there anyone here would like, personally, would you like to become more personally involved, get to know more information about this? May I call you? May we have a discussion after this meeting? I appreciate some help in bringing this to everybody's attention. Anyway, this is one of the sponsors.
Okay.
And this is a resolution that's been suggested, of course.
I will disseminate it to the members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
Oh, I left a couple of
stuff
here.
Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. I was actually supposed to be here tonight as backup for my neighbor.
If I may, sir, your name and address for the record, please.
Jeff Newlander. My address is 6 McKinley Ave.
Thank you.
In Washington.
Sorry, sir. Pull the microphone, the stand around to the side. Maybe that will help.
Can you hear me? Is that better?
Better.
Actually.
Okay.
I'm supposed to be his backup.
Yeah, okay.
You okay?
Yeah. Oh,
jeez. Steve Valpole and I, we both live on McKinley Ave, and we are having an issue with water runoff coming down the hill behind us. All the water is coming down Route 31, South Pickle. It's all gathering on Myrtle Ave. And the storm basin there is not able to handle the amount of water.
This happened when the new development that's just above you, it's
recent. I can't say specifically when it happened. Twice in the last 2 or 3 weeks. We've had this issue where the water collects on Myrtle Ave. The storm drain can't handle it. It overflows the curb. Runs down through the parking lot of the body shop on the corner, goes back down their driveway slopes towards our house. It runs through Steve's backyard, into my backyard, and technically into my back door. The first time it happened, I took a sump pump, put it out in front of the door, and had to pump it around. The second time was when the power went out, and I was out there for like 45 minutes with a push broom trying to keep the water away.
Mr. Alpha, this is what you and I have spoken about three years ago.
Yeah, it's about 3-4 years ago.
Okay, and it's the same issue continuing.
Same issue, and I, for some reason, this is the fifth and sixth time I flooded, okay. And it all started when they straightened out McKinley on Myrtle Avenue and had come in perpendicular to Route 31. And then, you know, they did a combination of things. I mean, they widened South Pickle, they put that Heather Hill development in.
Right.
And we actually went out the other night and followed it the second time. And some of that water actually appears that it's coming off of Ridgetop Drive, heads north to back out into 31 and comes down 31.
Ridgetop Drive, which?
Yeah, behind Valley View Terrace.
Okay.
It actually looks like that for some of the water. And what happens is now that it's perpendicular to Route 31, 31 is actually higher than and it's acting like it, and the water just kind of flows around the corner and goes down onto Myrtle Avenue, in addition to the water coming down South Pickle. And I don't know if Heather Hill's really much of an impact or not, but we could see the water actually was coming up out of the storm source, about 16, 17, 18 inches in the air, something like that, actually coming out of the storm source. And I don't know if the pipes are too small or they're blocked, but there is one of the two is the problem.
Okay. Well, we can have the road department check the drains and everything.
I know. I spoke.
Yeah, I spoke with him briefly on the phone a week or so ago.
I have my guys scheduled to go out Monday to televise the lines to see if there's an obvious clog or not.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Additionally, Pat and I also met up to discuss some of the problems we had. Not only that, but State Street. I have a person that came to me. Same problems between, I can't think of the name of the street now, where DeVos is, and I think it's all the way up to about North, just people in North Lincoln, the same issue. So we had looked into that, and maybe there's something we can do here for these people in town here, or we've scoped sewer drains out and see what we can find.
Yeah, see if there's any roots in them or something.
We don't have any silt in them or not, but obviously there is a problem. I have many photographs. Steve was very helpful in providing that to me via email, so I have that. I just didn't bring a lot of documentation with me, but I will have it for the next meeting, so I'll be prepared for that.
And 2 years ago, we had the engineer look at this, did we not? Some of us, in particular, not to ignore you, Mr. Newlander, but I know I spoke with Mr. Alpert about it before.
Not that I'm aware of. If it happened, it must have been with the previous. Yeah.
Employment
here.
Okay.
The first time I heard about it was when you and I spoke to
it.
And it
was prior, actually, to his predecessor. I believe it was when the gentleman who replaced Alan Fisher was here. When this was, that's to my knowledge, that's when this was all going on the first time. And that's when I got all the black mold and had to gut my basement and stuff. I was just at a point where I was getting kind of comfortable and maybe redoing my basement. I had a guy come in and put a new 200 amp service in the house, figuring that's got to come first. And within 2 weeks of him doing it, I got flooded again.
That'll teach you, huh?
Yeah. And a couple of days later, I got it again. Now I'm like, by the way, I really want to put the money in fixing the basement back up and make it a finished basement again. I sent Justin all the pictures of the black mold. Also, a photo trail from the debris in our yard where it comes from through the auto body shop right up all the way back to the curb on Myrtle Avenue.
Very extensive damage as far as the mold is concerned. So, I mean,
And I witnessed it a few years ago.
Yeah.
Mayor, I have the 2008 street survey, and they have two areas of Myrtle Ave. Route 31 to end of curbing, it's just about repair, but it's also noted here, Myrtle Ave 2, whatever that would refer to, that particular road dips in puddles of water along northern edge. So it's been referenced twice on this.
That might be farther in from 31, I'm thinking.
Okay. That's it they have on Myrtle.
Yeah, that sounds like it's more like by Head of Hills Development.
Yeah. And also, I don't think the top coat was ever finished on that development.
They're not finished.
The drains are actually covered up. So, I know they're waiting for the last bit of property to get finished there, and they're going to probably finish that developer.
They're building, I think, two new units now. They don't turn it over to the borough and repave it until the final house is done.
That's
so right now, you got that dip down with the raised manhole.
Right, which could be creating excess drainage.
Excuse me for speaking that term.
But
whether it has the final coat or not, isn't going to matter. The storm source can't handle the water.
Right.
So they're having that, whether that's finished or not, is not having an impact on the situation that the Newlanders and my family are experiencing.
Well, Monday you say the line's going
to
be...
Weather permitting, you're scheduled to go out there Monday.
Okay.
I know when you and I spoke, we wanted to try and pick a time for the engineer to come out there sometime on the Tuesday after 4. I just have to schedule with him to make sure... Because he's not dedicated just to the borough. He's out of town, so I'm trying to schedule it. And ideally, we'd want to come out there when it's raining so we can actually see it. Not that I'm going to doubt you, but at least if we see it, we know how to address it.
Well, if you could get in touch with Mr. Newlander or Mr. Alpaw...
I have Mr. Alpaw's phone number sitting on my desk now.
Just to let them know what they found with the video.
I could send you the pictures, too, as far as like what he's saying, the actual route the water was taking.
You said he emailed it to you?
Yes,
would you be able to forward me that, and I'll forward it to Andrew? They are dry pictures.
They're not the actual water.
Right, but it shows you the route.
All the water was the storm that was in the evening.
It gives you an idea.
It was about a week and a half or so when we spoke. That was right after that last big storm, right?
I'm glad you're doing something this quick.
That's what the camera's for, so.
Thank you, sir. All right, thank you. Hey, anyone else?
There's an elevator out there, Steve.
That was good.
My name is Rajesh Rapat, and I opened a store next to the Krauser. I used to own that Krauser before. I just moved out in March 30th.
Right. You moved next door. Yes. Across the street.
Could you speak in the microphone?
So now the problem again is the same.
I'm sorry. Thank you.
So again, I'm in the same situation like I had in Krauser. For a year and a half, I lost the business in Krauser because I had a sign problem over there. Finally, I got allowed from the council and the court to get the sign on. Now, I lost the business because I kept on telling everybody in the council every meeting that I'm not able to pay my rent because the sign is completely off, people don't come in after the dark, and now again I have the same situation at the new location. Before, the problem was that they didn't want me to light up the signs, but they were allowing me to keep the crowds, but after dark, nobody came in. Here again, the same thing. Now they wouldn't even allow me to change the front panel. I agreed with them that I won't even light it up. I'll take the bulbs off. At least if I can get the panel, front panel, which is plastic, I can take it off. And I'm not even getting that allowed now. And it's been 2 months. I'm again losing business. People are thinking that they are closed. Or some people even walk in and say, do you have washer and dryer? There's a convenience store. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Hours, huh?
Yes. Council now should understand that we are bringing business to the town, and here we are getting hard time. What is good if the council cannot help? Who do we go to get this kind of help?
Well, the sign ordinance has been in effect for a while. I mean, obviously you're familiar with the sign ordinance, haven't been through it
yes.
previously.
Yes.
It's a backlit sign that he can't put in, correct?
Yes.
But he can put in a frontlit sign as far as the spotlight type thing on it?
I think you're talking about. It can't be blue in the back. But like
well, that's what even I talked with the sign guy, Frank Blinch. He said he can make that, take the front panel off, put an aluminum sheet in there and paint on there, and he can put the gooseneck on that.
Right.
Now, the ordinance says that that box should be 3 inches, and this box is like four and a half inches from the wall. So now for that 1.5 inch, I have to spend like almost $9,000 for those two signs. I mean, this is a nickel and dime business. It's not a $1 million business. I'm trying to survive over here, and nobody cares in town. It's been 2 months since I opened that store. I'm just getting running around. Nobody to help me out.
I'm sorry. Did you go to the board of zoning board?
Yes, and they said, since the beginning, they said you cannot have the lighted sign. I said, I understand that. I had that problem last year with the Krauser.
But you want to put just lights in
it? No, I don't want to put lights. I just want to change the Howard sign off. And that's a whole box which is lighted. I promise I can take the light bulbs off from inside the box and arrange it with the electrical guy and get that permit and get a gooseneck. And the front plastic, I'll take it off completely and put aluminum sheet in there, and he can paint on that and write the store name on that.
But that still would end up to be a backlit sign, right?
No, it's not, because the light is not going to come inside. The light is going to be completely off. There's going to be a gooseneck on that. But now they are saying that since the box is like 3 feet by 8 feet by 4 inches or 5 inches thick, you can't have that. That has to be 3 inches. How am I going to even cut that thing on 3 inches?
The sign would be too large is what you're telling us?
No, it's like...
what's there?
It's thick, I mean...
Too deep.
Too deep.
Deep, yeah. It's like four and a half or 5 inches deep. And the ordinance says it should be 3 inches.
So she now, basically said you want to flush mount it onto the building rather than it being a deep box like it is now.
No, the box itself.
Right. It's too deep right now.
Yes.
They want it to be basically flush mounted, which is right on top of the brick on Howard right now.
Yes.
That's what they want.
Or they will...
Right.
Well, and
they're asking you to take that. They're asking you to take that big, bulky sign down and make it thinner. So you can
now, I'm asking just... leave that box over there. I'll take the front plastic off.
Yes.
It says Howard's TV in there. We'll put an aluminum sheet inside.
Right.
On top of that, we can paint and have a gooseneck light on top.
Right. Makes sense to me.
But they're saying, no, you cannot have that. That whole sign has to come off, and we have a different thing. And that's going to cost a lot of money.
I'm
losing business. Nobody even cares about this.
If I may... if I'm understanding this correctly, the issue is not the lighting, it's the physical size of the light.
Yes.
The box, if you will.
That's what I got heard last.
Now,
but before that, it was okay to do it. But now it's again the...
No, I understand that part. And I just want to make sure council is aware of this. Council doesn't have the legal authority to violate the ordinance. That's what the Zoning Board of Adjustment is. If he wants to change the size of that sign... that's not in compliance with the zoning ordinance, only the zoning board can approve that.
It's not the size of the...
No. The depth is part of the size, the length, the width, and the depth. If you want to keep the existing 4.5 inches, this body doesn't have the legal authority to say, yes, you can do that. Only the zoning board of adjustment can, if you apply for a variance.
A variance, again, is costing me a lot of money. Last year when I applied, it was $75 on the application fees. Because I won, that's what I heard. I won the case. Now they jacked up to $250. Now they want deposit $500 for the architect, $500 for the electric. How am I going to provide all this money?
If I recall, you applied and were approved in July.
Yes.
Right. The governing body introduced the ordinance in June.
Yes.
Prior to you applying to the Board of Adjustment.
No, because I have the papers.
And it was adopted in August. The rationale behind it, and counsel, please correct me if I'm wrong, was to have the applicant supply escrow money, the balance of which would be returned to you if it's not needed, in lieu of, and this was the recommendation of the former Board of Adjustment and Zoning Board attorney, if you recall correctly. He's the one that recommended this. And his rationale was to have the applicant pay for the professionals instead of the rest.
But there is, at this point, there is no professional needed in that thing that they have to have an engineer or anybody else.
Then you would get all the money back. If there's no professionals needed.
Yeah, but do you think that we are making millions of dollars that even we can do $500? We are trying to survive at this point.
I'm just letting you know what the process is.
Okay, but I know the process. They told me. I have the application, but that's killing us. It's not like I'm doing over that $4,000 or $5,000 a day business. It's not like QuickCheck. We are trying to come up. We are trying to bring business, and this is what we are getting in here.
I don't know. I'd like to just make a suggestion. Possibly, if you could meet with, especially with Rich, maybe he could take a step-by-step through the variance process so that he could...
The variance process, everywhere is costing money. I mean, $500 for the escrow. I mean, we are not doing that much business over there because of this thing. And being a business in town, we at least have a right to have a sign. But we cannot take the Howard sign off. I mean, I'm not talking about the whole thing, just removing the front panel off.
I understand.
And I understand, and I want to cooperate with the... Every code that I'm not going to light it up. If I light it up, yes, I can get fined. That I understand that completely. I mean, I don't know who to talk to. Everybody says, oh, we cannot, you come later on, we'll talk to somebody. I don't know who they talk to. I mean, Chris is trying to help me out. She has her hands tied up, and this is what we get. It's been 2 months I'm contacting her, but I can't get any answer. First it was, okay, you cannot have a lighted sign, but you can remove the front panel. I said, okay. Then I hear that, oh, you cannot have that either. Now remove your landlord has to do that. I mean, this is what kind of business we can do in town. And I've been in this town for 20 years.
Do you have all that in writing?
Yes, I have it.
You have that in writing where they said all you had to do was take that faceplate off and put another one on?
She told me verbally. She didn't give me in writing. She told me you can do it. And then everything changed. I don't know where she got it from. And somebody in ordinance must have told, oh, I have to ask, I have to calculate the sign, how much you're allowed to do, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, it's a simple thing. I'm just asking to remove the front panel of the Howard TV. If people come in to ask, do you have a walk and drive? I feel stupid over there. And plus, when people pass by, they see that's a Howard TV. They don't want to come in a convenience store. Even though I have big signs of lottery on the window.
Is there anything in an ordinance that says you can't just cover that over?
Cover the existing
Howard TV appliances?
Well, the existing signs are grandfathered in for the size.
But just cover the name Howard. Just cover
it
over.
If you and put a new. But the problem is, if you replace. Oh, you mean just cover it in its entirety? Don't put Krausers on it.
No, it's not going to be Krausers. It's a Washington General.
But they're coming in asking for washers and dryers.
Yeah,
at least that would take care of that problem.
I understand. But as a business, I need a sign too.
No.
Yeah, I think I understand where Mr. Boyle's going. Cover the Howard sign and separately put up his own sign.
In the short term. Yeah.
But that's not the permanent solution of this thing.
Permanent solution, you have to get a variance.
I understand variance, but there has to be some kind of variance. It's not that I'm asking something else.
You don't need to go for a variance if you install a sign that meets the requirements of the ordinance.
Only 1.5 inch thick is the thing. Otherwise, the box, they say if you can have a 3-inch box over there.
Would it meet the size requirements even though the old sign, the old box is still up there covered with whatever?
Yeah. No, the old sign's too deep.
But it's grandfathered in, so you covered that one up.
But it's grandfathered in for Howard's, not for a new
business. Then the owner of the property needs to get that off. And then he could put a regular sign,
a code
sign up that's within code.
In compliance with the ordinance. That's correct.
With the ordinance.
Yeah, but when that's going to happen, then the other people are going to, from the state are going to come in.
Well,
you need a permit to take it off. You have to have a permit for this. That's what I had it as soon as I opened. Within 3 days, all the inspectors from the state were like the dogs running behind me, oh, you need permit for this, you need... To put a floor, I needed permit. They asked me to have a permit to even move from the other store.
But just trying to address the original Howard's TV for the washers and dryers, try to get to like a solution to that, and then alongside of that, have an in-compliance Krauser sign, and the owner of the building would have to remove that sign.
So, I mean, I can get the permission even to change the front panels, which is not a big thing for 1.5 inch. Everybody, I have to spend money, even the landlord has to spend money, everybody.
Well, yeah.
I mean, put a new sign is not cheap. I mean, to put a whole new sign, it's almost like $4,000
or $5,000. Or a sign that's in compliance until we can get this resolved so people know you're open for business.
Yeah, but I don't care if landlord has to pay, but for me to put it up again, new sign, big like that, I have two signs on both sides of the road. That's going to cost $7,000-$8,000. Because these days signs are not cheap.
I got a question, Rich. I'm not too familiar with the sign ordinance, so maybe you know it probably better. Can he put flags out or something like that?
I mean, there are requirements for temporary signs and advertising. Like you could put like an A-frame sign up. They call it a temporary sign for 30 days at a time.
There's other things
that can be done on the interim.
Right.
But for a permanent fix, there's two options. You know, build a sign in compliance with the ordinance or apply for a variance for an exception. But yes, there are permissions in the ordinance for temporary signage.
So maybe that's a solution. Put out, like he said, an A-frame, or I was suggesting a flag and front, you know.
I mean, I have banners in front and everything. I put even the Coke company gave me a couple of signs to put it. I did, but that's not even helping me because people are blind. They can see some of the things. And I mean, I cannot make everybody happy, you know, but I tried everything. I mean, I had my regular customer coming in, but I'm not getting any other customer. There's a parking problem too in front. So, I mean, ordinance is just giving me a hard time. I mean, every time there's something is to be done, I mean, even the fees increase, now the other escrow money has to be put in there, and it's not like completely different because I don't think that you need any architect for that small sign. I never heard of it.
It's just not for your establishment. It's just for like anybody else coming in as well. You know, we have so many signs, you might not be able to see the store.
Even the furniture store did the same thing. They changed the front panel because I used to own that furniture store before. They changed the front panel. They don't like it. They got allowed. It's the same size. It's not a big sign. It's not bigger than that. It's even smaller than that.
It's a tough situation. I mean, it's nothing unique to the ordinance. You know, I gave you maybe logical reasoning how to get it taken care of. I don't know what else to say.
Well, unless you sit down with Christine and Rich, maybe they can help you guide you through the process and give you some more ideas so you don't have to spend all that money. Maybe they could
bid. Maybe work with bid. They have some pretty good people on staff.
Bid is trying to help me out, but they cannot say something.
I know.
Like a 1 inch, this is more deep.
But
one inch. It's
alternative
not like
ideas
four,
to
it's
get
not
you.
4 or 5 inch deep. It's just one, 1.5 inch deep.
Right. To get you ready for, you know, upcoming events, the Celebrates America stuff and the festival in the borough so people know you're open. Mm-hmm. To try to get through that, you know, and then come up with a permanent solution, you know, through the municipality.
Right. And again, if you sit down with Richard Christine, I know you're going to have to get a variance for that. Mm-hmm. To use that existing sign. It would be cost effective for you to reuse the sign, I think. If you want to go that route, and I'm sure they can guide you through the process. Now you're going to have to you may or may not have to put money in escrow, but you know, again, you have to go through the process of mailing within 200 feet and all that. That's part of the process. I've done that myself for something I had to do.
No, I understand that.
It's not, you know, if you want to do it that route,
I mean,
that would be the way to go.
I mean,
you
know? If you have to do it within 200 feet, if you are putting a lighter, and I'm not putting a lighter, say the same sign.
Exactly. That's what I mean. If you're going to go that route, you may have to go over a variance to go against the current ordinance to see if they'll allow that, which they very well may or may not. You know, it's up to their decision. Most of the times you present a good case, you know, the outcome could be positive. So I think you've got a good, you have a good case there.
All right.
Think you'll be all right.
All right. Thank you, sir.
You're very welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, that's all.
You want a hand?
I just don't want it to fall.
Thank you.
I play the sound.
always a fireman when you need one, Counselor.
There you go. There we are.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I hope so.
Me too.
Better?
After all that.
There you go.
Karaoke night.
Never again. Penny Shaw, 22 School Street. Something has occurred that I would like to just kind of make it a across-the-board rule if possible, and you guys can decide if you want this or not. But when somebody applies for a position and they don't get hired, I think they should be at least either A, get a letter, or B, get a phone call saying they're not hired. There are at least two people I know of who applied for positions in the town that A, never got a phone call saying that they weren't hired, or B, a letter. And standard procedure, professional procedure, is to have a letter. I spoke to Christina. She said that it's on the discretions of the head of the department. I really don't think it should be. I think it should be basic protocol, common courtesy. And I think especially a governmental body should have the common courtesy to send out even a little business, you know, a little card. It's like 22 cents to mail. And just say, thank you for applying, but unfortunately, we are not accepting any further applicants at this time.
Possibly an email.
If a person wants, if, you know. But unfortunately, at least I know of two situations where that did not happen.
Were they interviewed for a position?
Yes, they were. It would be one thing if they were not even interviewed.
Right.
But they physically came in and were interviewed.
Is this for paid or volunteering?
Paid.
Oh, I wouldn't know who applied for a job. Yeah, but...
No, but I'm just saying...
When you say governmental body, I mean...
No, but I think it should be borough policy.
She's talking
yeah.
about a policy of the borough
type of thing. Yeah, for the borough.
A common courtesy.
Right, right, yeah, just a common courtesy and just say across the board, all departments, if you are hiring and you get an applicant who doesn't meet your standards, which is fine, send a thank you letter for applying and, you know...
Right, thank you, but no thank you.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, hopefully you find something better that fits you in the future, something like that. Just across the board, because when I called, she said that it's on the discretion of the department head. I don't think that should be the case. I've never known a business out there that can say that one department says yes and the other department says no. I honestly don't know what the state body law does.
I don't think there's any law.
But maybe we should. At least common courtesy.
It wouldn't be a law as much as a policy, I think.
Yeah, a policy of procedure. She said she was going to talk to you, but I haven't heard back from you, so I figured I'd bring it up tonight.
This is the first I'm hearing, so...
Sorry.
I
apologize.
I'm sorry?
I apologize.
No,
I figured if I haven't heard, I'd bring it up tonight.
I mean, again, this is the first I'm hearing of it, so aside from the fact that I'm not sure what employee you're referring to, I'm assuming... it's a seasonal employee, because you mentioned someone in the recreation department that you spoke with. I don't know the answer to that question, why they haven't been contacted. I know that they're still interviewing people.
No, they're not. When we had our meeting last Wednesday, he said he was... I specifically asked him, I said, are you full? He says yes.
I can tell you for a fact we interviewed some people yesterday. All right, this is ongoing. When vacancies emerge, people are no longer in a position. It's ongoing. Well, there was a new vacancy.
Oh, okay. That's a different situation.
So
okay.
It's live. It doesn't end.
I understand
week.
That. Okay. It was just, I asked him specifically, as of that date, were you done physically hiring? And he said all positions were filled. And that's what I had to go back to the two individuals and say, I apologize on behalf of the town.
Okay.
I only felt proper that they receive an apology. That they hadn't been contacted.
Again, first time hearing it. I can look into it tomorrow.
Sorry.
But just as a matter of course, I think I agree with Michelle. It would be nice if it was a phone call, an email. I'm not...
No, thank you. From the department.
I can't make an SOP. I can't say whether or not it has or it hasn't happened.
Right.
Because this is the first time hearing of it, so it would be premature of me to address it.
I'd first time I heard about it.
Is it the habit of the Borough of Washington to... call and get in touch with if someone is not approved?
That's what she said
to
me.
And then just made it so
No, she said that was the general habit, but it's on the discretion of the director.
Okay. I think we can make that happen.
Okay. I don't see it on here, but I had heard that the park is going to be on the discussion tonight. Is that true?
The park?
Yeah.
The park is going to be, I didn't hear you, what?
Was the park going to be on discussion tonight?
No, I don't.
Okay. I didn't see it on here.
I didn't either.
Okay.
Yeah. You could very well be right.
No, it's not on here. It's not on here, but
okay.
I
didn't see it either. I
had heard.
Well, not to say that things could be added later.
Okay. So, there. Okay. Okay. Should I talk now? Can I talk now, or would you like me to wait? Okay. There has been some concern across the town about the railroad ties and creosote. And I took it upon myself to do some research, and several people have taken it upon themselves to do some research. I have the CDC's report from 2002, which basically bans creosote from public spaces.
Whose report is that?
CDC.
Center of Disease Control.
Yeah. Specifically, the Agency for Toxic Substance and Disease Registry. I have their report describing what creosote is and why it's banned in public spaces. And all the metabolic, physical, and other detrimental effects of creosote. No matter how long it's been in a particular piece of wood or substance, it still will leach many years later. 25, 30, 35, 40 years, they're still studying this, and it hasn't stopped leaching. Specific things with the creosote are brief exposures will create rashes, irritation of skin, chemical burns, convulsions, mental confusion, kidney stones, liver problems, unconsciousness, even death. Continuing on, sensitivity to sunlight, damage to the corneas, skin damage, reddening of blistering of or peeling of skin, specifically irritation of respiratory tract, skin, and a particular cancer that men don't particularly like. Let me put it that way.
Okay.
To be polite. They've also done much, much research, and that's why it's banned from children areas, such as parks. Cannot be used for building playgrounds. Cannot be used as mulch for children's playgrounds, because of how carcinogenic it is. Furthermore, it will seep into the groundwater, and it will travel. And correct me if I'm wrong, but there is a spring that feeds the pool. Am I correct? Is that the water is supplied partial?
By the well.
By the well, which given the profile of the park, you have the railroad ties, the water running off the railroad ties, into the groundwater and straight into the pool. Direct absorption of creosote is damaging for children, let alone adults, but specifically for children, creating many, many health effects, and for pregnant women, even further. Children are born with birth defects such as cleft palates, I'm trying to read what I wrote.
Well, I think we understand another the dangers of the creosote. You're talking about CCA-type lumber here, Michelle?
Specifically, the railroad ties that were used by Conrail and Norfolk Southern are now currently being used around the pool in the park. And when I'm even around the pool, it's right now next to the pool, left of the pool if you're facing the pool, surrounding the, at least on two, three sides.
And we know that these ties have the creosote in them?
Yes. I spoke to someone at Norfolk Southern.
They're actually redoing the ties on this line out here. So that's the old ties.
Okay.
Replacing.
Yes.
And I recently saw a letter between Norfolk Southern and Mr. Fitzgerald.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I really can't speak to what it was, but I know there was something.
But do you know why they were replacing the ties?
Yes.
Right. This is one company that's replacing it, and it's replacing it with a composite material because of the creosote and the damaging effects of creosote. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
All right. On May 3rd, I asked in my council remarks, and I brought the minutes here, asked what the railroad ties were treated with because children probably play on them. Well, I did some research on my own. Justin also asked. So I did some research on it on my own. There is actually a state law that says they cannot be put in a public place. That state law is PL 207, Chapter 113, approved July 13, 2007, and it's Assembly Bill 2804.
If I may, we can speed this conversation up. I'll have them pulled out. Done. I mean, we could sit here and talk about it all night. I'll have them removed.
I think that there's also a problem with the mulch, too, that's kind of not just the ties.
I was going to get to that next.
Right.
The mulch, when I drove home and one day and saw these huge, humongous piles of mulch, and I asked our director, where did these come from? He said they were donated from Nelson Tree Services for the cutting down of local trees for telephone poles, to protect the telephone poles.
Okay.
And I asked him, was this treated? He said, no. I said, you cannot use untreated mulch. He asked me why. And I said, because some of the trees you took down had poison ivy on them because I know they're around my house. Around the corner, the trees that they cut down had poison ivy. I religiously would use Roundup, but it doesn't prevent it from coming back. And we just found out other issues about Roundup that now I have to deal
and
with.
And it also doesn't kill the oil with the poison ivies.
I'm one of the rare people that isn't allergic to it, so that's why I'm the one that usually kills them. But once poison ivy is broken up into pieces, if it can find a host piece of land where it can propagate, it will do so. It does not need to propagate in such a way that fruits do or conifers do. It propagates in a similar way that, to my knowledge, mosses and ferns do. So if you break it up and you put it somewhere, it will repropagate. Problem one.
Where were we putting this mulch down?
You haven't seen the park? All of that.
All along. I've seen it next to the softball field, and I thought it was all going on the railroad tracks property.
He's doing it that side. He's doing it the other side. He's covered up most of the grass that those of us volunteers last year took all that effort to put in mulch in and to put flowers in and to take care of is now covered in mulch, which is another pet peeve of mine.
If I may, can we just get rid of the mulch? I think that would solve their whole problem. I don't understand why it's getting piled up there. I don't know why they're putting it there.
He, being the director, wants to use it to reduce the quantity of time and effort to mow.
However, if you look now, the weeds are still coming through the mulch, even as we speak. So I don't think it's going to reduce anything.
It's not treated.
It's actually, if anything, it's de-beautifying the park. I think the grass was fine where it was. In my opinion, I say just get rid of the mulch.
I mean, he informed us that he was doing it on a flat, only on the hill surface and not the flat surface. And when I was there yesterday, it's on the flat surfaces as well. I understand expediency for the sake of saving a buck, but not when it degrades the effort of many people over many years to try and preserve that park. It is shameful that it was done without discussion, in my opinion, and even more shameful without consideration of how it would appear to the taxpayers of this town, let alone anyone we might want to bring in from outside the town for town events, such as what's happening next week, I believe, right? The Memorial Car Show is next week?
This weekend.
Oh, is it this weekend?
Yes, the 11th.
Right. Sorry. I've got my weeks mixed up.
That's all right. I never remember the day or date either.
I do not want people to continue to say, oh, we are, pardon the phrase, the trash of the area. We are not the dumping ground. We should not be the dumping ground, especially when people have taken the time and effort. especially recently, they did the volunteer days at the park. The time and effort to beautify the park, this is not something that should be done. I understand why he did it on the railroad tracks. Fine. Perfect. I can see mowing that. It's a pain in the butt. That's fine. But the flat surfaces around the baseball fields, from what I understand, he also wants to do an area where people park their cars. I don't know about you, but when you come out of your car and you're stepping in mulch, except if you're wearing summer shoes, you're going to get splinters.
If that was a motion that Justin made before, I'd like to second it, so to get rid of the mulch as well.
And also, maybe...
I don't think we even need to go to the motion or just have it go.
Well, here's the question. Who's going
to
pay for it? Maybe we should take that out of the salary?
And where's the railroad ties going to go?
They need to be returned to Conrail because, according to Conrail, they are not legally allowed to be sold or used for public use.
How do we get them in the first place?
And according to the American Institute of Civil Construction, that
Conrail
is illegal.
Donated them, now they're telling them it's illegal?
Well, Norfolk Southern.
Norfolk Southern, which is a division of Conrail, by the way.
I was told that they want, the railroad company wants to come back.
That's what
incorrect.
I was told, too.
No, I have a letter down.
Yes, I have that letter here.
Who was on the commission?
I have a letter downstairs directly from Norfolk Southern.
Well, maybe there's
oh, you got a new one?
Dates. What's the date of your letter and what's the date of her letter?
He was out here today, actually.
Okay.
To meet with us. Well, and we're meeting him again next week.
Okay.
But he would be in violation of the rules.
Well, the railroad ties are a non-issue, so we don't need to discuss that. We're removing them.
Yeah, but would it be a cost to us to have them removed?
We're going to have to, we brought him
power,
and we're going to have to use our manpower to bring him back.
When you say bring him back, to where?
Put them back on the top of the hill where they were taken.
They
from.
Were taken right by the railroad tracks that cut next to the park.
Mm-hmm. There's more railroad ties there now. They weren't there earlier this week, and now they're there.
Yeah, but if these things leach, maybe that's not a good place to return them to, because if they're up here, and then the rain comes
but
down, and they get into the soil, and they go down into the well, and they have the same problem.
We would need permission from Norfolk Southern to move them somewhere where they would approve.
If they take them back, I'm sure they have a method of disposal of them.
We should suggest that then, for sure, for the same safety. Of course, yeah, obviously.
Okay. Anything else?
Does anyone else want to speak on this subject?
Yes.
If you need any documentation, I have the federal study, I have the state study, I have emails. I'll get you what you want.
Well, Ms. Shaw, your presentation was ironclad, and I appreciate the efforts you've done. You've been a nice service to the borough.
Thank you.
And Councilman Higgins, I want to thank you for bringing it up at the last meeting to bring us aware about the potential problem.
Good evening. Rudy Bichero, 181 Broad Street. Now, initially, when those railroad ties were procured, did we have permission to take them?
Yes.
We did. Then why at the most recent Red Committee meeting did Victor Cioni, upon receiving a letter from Norfolk and Southern that they wanted the railroad ties back, mention that they must have been turned in, snitched on by a disgruntled former employee, or me, Rudy Bichero. Now, I can't take credit for this.
And
okay?
You can leave it there, I'll lock it up.
I wish I could, because if I had known that they were stolen from Norfolk and Southern, I would have called Norfolk and Southern first, the newspaper second, and then the police, okay? Because apparently they were not legally available to anybody, yet we took them. Is that true?
No, that's 100% incorrect.
Well, then somebody had better get back to Mr. Victor Cioni.
I'll be happy to get back to him.
Okay.
I can tell you for a fact, I spoke with the area manager out of Harrisburg who told us we could have the ties. We took the ties. His boss then called us back saying he wasn't authorized to let you take the ties, to give them back. We contacted his boss, who got in touch with the CEO of the company, who sent out the railroad investigations unit, verified all of it, and then sent us a letter that we could take it. The mistake was on their end. So from the very beginning, we had their approval to take them.
Well, then why did Victor Cioni say that?
I can't answer why someone said anything.
Okay.
I didn't attend the rec meeting, so I have no idea.
I had known that they were stolen initially.
Again, they were not stolen initially.
Do you think that they would know the law?
I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I said, do you think that Norfolk Southern would know the law?
I have no idea. I mean, I don't know.
Well, I would say they would.
We called them up. We asked them if they were interested in letting us take them, and they said yes. That's what started this whole process.
Because it says here, on or after July 1st, 2007, either creosote or any wood or any other product treated with or containing creosote shall be manufactured, sold, offered for sale, or used in this state, short of the power company or the railroad.
Again, we called them, we asked them, and they said we could have it. That's what prompted this whole thing. At no such time did we trespass on their property and take it without their permission.
I also have a copy of the letter, and I would like to clear this up, too. This is a copy of the letter that was sent to Norfolk Southern. Let's see here. It says that you personally received a demand, an irate and demanding phone call that you return, and in quotation it says stolen,
correct,
or he was going to call the police.
Correct. That was the gentleman that I spoke with the first time at Norfolk Southern. Again, he said we could take them. He wasn't authorized to tell us we could take them. I didn't know that. We didn't know that. Then his boss got in touch with him saying, get my railroad ties back, and that's when he contacted me. They completed an investigation. They sent their own law enforcement out here and said we did nothing improperly. Believe it or not, Norfolk Southern has a sworn law enforcement department.
When were they out here, Rich?
2 weeks ago. 2.5 weeks ago, give or take. They came out here, they investigated, they looked around, they took pictures. That was prior
to
that was after
day?
The letter.
Prior? 2.5 weeks ago?
No, the Thursday prior. The Thursday prior. When
why,
they came out.
Why wouldn't we be in like the weekly report? Why wouldn't something like that
because
be
I didn't know the answer, the outcome.
No, we had people here because they're investigating.
Well, I mean, law enforcement investigates a million
things.
Yeah,
exactly. Because it's better to not have anything not to report.
Yeah. Just say Norfolk Southern was here by investigating about that, and that's that.
Yeah, because now we're hearing about it after the fact. It's like,
yeah,
not good.
Just like the wood chips, we really know what's going on until really we're just now.
Council entrusts my office to oversee the existing departments. I mean, this was an internal investigation that I knew was going nowhere. I mean, at what point do I write down everything I say, everything I do? I mean, I don't know when
the line is
drawn.
Please don't put a spin on it. It's a simple thing of communication because when you're dealing with the severity or maybe the amount of issues that we're dealing with now, it's simple like there was a security team from North Pole.
Well, it wasn't
Southern,
a security team.
Whatever it might have been. We don't know that until tonight.
Well, it's the manager's discretion to put
you
in
know,
his
the report. You know, the manager's discretion
is
far...
Matt,
if
we're
going
may,
down the wrong road.
Matt, if I may, it is his discretion to put in what he feels is necessary. If he, if we feel that there was something that he should have told us, we can tell him that.
Okay,
and that's what we're doing tonight.
Yes, sir.
And that's all that I'm saying. Perhaps we should say if there's any other investigations of any type that he knows that we're involved in, they should be in the weekly report or in an email immediately, depending on their severity.
I don't think it just has to be investigative reports. I just hope for more better communication from the manager to just give us a heads up on everything that's going on, because, frankly, we, you know, work or whatever, we go to school, whatever it is, we don't get the day-to-day information that the manager has privy to, that maybe it would be beneficial to all if he comes forward with more stuff. Whatever, how small minutia it might seem to be, this way at least we know what's going on. And then I think everybody will be more, you know,
to an extent we're
in the loop.
To look at the crystal ball to see what is going to escalate and what is not.
No, because the weekly report had already been taking place. That's not what we're predicting. The weekly report's not predictions. information.
Well, predicting whether it's going to be a major or a minor thing. We hired him to do the day-to-day operations if he thought it was minor.
Okay.
You know, maybe there's an error in that discretion at this point. But I don't think it's something to hang him over. I think it's just that, okay, now we know that if there's anything like that in the future, that we would like to be known about it, give it in that direction.
But I think it should be more than just, you know, this, something like this. I think it should be, like I said, the manager should come to us more often and tell us what's going on. That's all in the town. There's nothing wrong with that. Right? It's better for everybody to know more what's going on so that we can act on it maybe beforehand rather than after the fact. Because now this has to be, this situation in particular has to be undone. That's all.
Okay. Mrs. Detlef.
Can I still say something?
Yes, we're still in the audience portion.
I was at the volunteer park thing, right? And on Saturday, there was nobody there when I was there. Everybody had left. It was like about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a nice day. And a mother showed up with three young teenage girls who wanted to work. So I told them, I said, I don't know what to tell you to do. I don't know what to do myself, right? But I felt bad for them because on the website, there was supposed to be something about come and help us and you can get credit for doing community good or whatever. I don't even know who these three kids were. And I just don't think it was fair. So I just want you to know there was nobody there.
Everybody went home early that day?
How about there was nobody there to begin with but one other lady and myself and the park director who decided to go cut his lawn. So, I don't know. It was not a well-planned day.
Anyone else? Ms. Shaw?
Max, the park. Yes, I will make it quick.
And your name is what?
I don't know if it's something the council does or if it's directly with you, Mr. Phelan. Sorry. With you, Mr. Phelan, but there has been much research and much concern for many years about caffeinated drinks and items for kids. And we're on the verge of opening up the pool, and specifically the concession stand. Recently, to my particular shock, there was a CDC study, again, on energy drinks, which we know is not intended for children. Energy drinks.
Energy drinks.
Which is not intended for children. They're including in this Gatorade, because it's got high content of minerals above and beyond what a child should absorb on a day-to-day basis. Yes, when they do sports, but not on a day-to-day basis. I had brought it up at the last rec meeting, and they had asked me to do research, and I did do some research on it, but I wanted to know if it's, before I go back to them, whether it's something that you direct as the person who the director reports to, or the council, to exclude these high-end energy drinks from
the concession stand,
specifically. I was going to say events, but you can't stop other people from selling them. But at least the concession stand for the kids, because they really shouldn't be drinking, what the hell is that? Major one, Rockstar, something or another, or
just to step back, you said that the Recreation Committee discussed it. What was their decision?
They didn't decide it.
I'm just saying, so you spoke about it, but nothing?
Nothing was decided about it, so I just came here to ask, do I go to you to talk to about it?
Yes, it would be through myself and the rec director.
Okay, because he told me he wasn't going to do anything about it, so.
Again, when I'm blindsided with these things, I'm hearing about it for the first time.
I thought he would discuss it with you since I had a discussion with him on
that. We're working on other issues right now.
I apologize, but
emails. What I would suggest is, since it was discussed initially, you might as well get the consensus from your fellow members
okay.
to see what their decision is. I mean,
okay.
that's what they're there for.
Yes, but again, it's an advisory group, so we can say whatever we want, and the decision is down to you.
What
and
I use to
the
make
director.
My decision, though, if I need to hear both sides of the story.
Okay.
You know, that's what the committee's for.
Okay.
Well,
but if I give,
are
but if I give,
having these high energy drinks anyway.
Is it going to be available or not?
Yes, he's looking to get them.
Again, I'm being blindsided
I'm
by this
sorry,
for the
again.
First time, so I don't know the answers to your questions.
Yeah.
I mean, well, no, I'm just thinking if we're not having them,
it's a moot point, right?
Right.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to see the high energy drink.
Yeah.
The Gatorade, I'm a little surprised at.
Yeah, because they're drinking it as water,
yeah.
meaning not when they commit themselves to a sport.
Right.
It's when they. You know, they drink it literally as water.
Yeah. Don't drink them when you're playing your video game. That's not activity.
So and not necessarily at the pool are they swimming
the decision
enough
what
to
buy for the concession stand, right?
Burn
well,
it
in
off.
Conjunction with the rec
so
director committee.
That's why I'm just here to ask
the
question, not to
imply
or impugn or to question somebody's logic. I just, this has been a concern since I was at Rutgers many, many years ago about the quantity of Gatorade that college kids were drinking.
Is it a direct thing from the CDC that's put out, or is it a tentative thing?
Like an advisory.
I don't think.
What is the criteria of a power drink? Coca-Cola?
Containing caffeine and other stimulants.
But Penny, what is the? Is it a directive from the CDC, or is it a suggestion from the CDC?
It was listed in this CDC report of 2011.
Okay.
I don't know if that's considered a directive or a quest or what, but the newest report came out last week. So I'll get more further information for you, anything I can find. But it's personally, I've never agreed with.
Manager will have the conversation with the rec director. Go from there and take your comments.
Okay.
As presented.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you give us a follow-up?
I'll have to speak with him tomorrow.
I'll get you whatever research you want. I will find whatever you...
I mean, the reality of what it comes out is if the governing body doesn't want any of that stuff now, we could make the directive now. Otherwise, I mean, again, this is the first I'm hearing it. If you don't want it, we'll stop it right now.
There you go. That's
problem solved.
Problem
no
solved.
Energy drink,
well,
okay, right, we'll have water and soda.
Yeah.
Actually,
it's
no
good.
Soda.
Yeah,
nothing with caffeine or any stimulant. That's fine.
So, should we
we'll
make
water?
Do
<Water.
laughs>
well, you agree with that?
Right.
Nothing with any
stimulant?
I mean, yes.
We don't need to drag this out.
Just say yes.
What?
Nothing to drink with any stimulants in it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't see a problem with Coke, but Coke has caffeine, so I mean,
you're
going to be splitting
hairs
here.
That's fine. Okay, Mr. Jewell? I'm happy with that.
Okay, Mr. Higgins?
I think you're going to be gutting into your faucets if you take away soda.
No, I think we should have soda. That's what I'm
saying. Well, we can have
no power,
the lemon
no
lime,
or anything like that.
Caffeine-free soda.
No, yeah, no Red Bull.
No Red Bull.
Right. Monster?
Yeah,
Monster.
That's what I understood to be.
Okay.
5-hour energy.
I think you can keep the Gatorade.
The Gatorade,
you're going to have kids that
you mean the sports drinks?
Like the high-end
stuff. Yeah, sports drinks.
Right.
Well,
keeping the name down.
Red Bull,
Monster.
No, we can't say names.
All right, I think we're good there. Anyone else from the audience? Hearing none, I would accept a motion to close the audience.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any other discussion?
I do have two quick questions. When are the railroad ties going to be removed?
I guess that will be decided in the next day or two.
I mean, if it is a carcinogenic, then I think we need to move on that quick.
I'll have to change some of our scheduled activities to remove them. That's
okay.
Now, was the park director that actually approached you to do this, or was something that you had the idea to do this?
What, the railroad ties?
Yeah.
The park director approached me and asked me if it was all right, and I said as long as the railroad company says there's no problem, it shouldn't be an issue.
And the mulch, same thing
with
that?
The mulch was donated by two local companies.
And the park director
They asked us if we wanted any.
Okay. There are scheduled activities for the park this weekend. Are those railroad ties going to be removed before this weekend?
They're going to have to be now.
Okay.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Wait a second.
Wait, wait, wait.
Okay.
Justin brought
said
up the
two.
Mulch. What are we doing with the mulch?
Council's instructions were to remove the mulch. We'll have to take it all back out and find a home for it.
In the future, can we be notified prior to anything being put on the property so that we don't have to go through this again or bear the expense of having to remove it and do it twice, double work? Now, where I come from, double work doesn't make sense. So we can just do this.
I think what we're going to need
like
to do
in a weekly report. I'm not finished. In a weekly report, if we can possibly put that in there prior, if we have mulch getting donated or rarotized, to put that in the report so we know ahead of time, we can make a motion or at least speak about it before we have this happen. I mean, this is going to be a big mess.
I believe it may have even been in the report. I've never seen something about it.
I don't know
if it was done beforehand or after the fact, but I've never seen something about it.
I know for a fact it was in my reports acknowledging the donations that were made for the mulch, for the grill, for the refrigerator, for the railroad ties.
I don't
remember the dates. They were all in there. Be that as it may, what I think...
Yeah, we just didn't know where the mulch was coming from.
What I think we need to do is, after the conclusion of the meeting, when we have to go into executive session anyway, I think council and we should speak to clearly define exactly what you're looking for. This is not considered a public discussion. This should be considered executive for personnel.
I'll
clearly define it and resolve it once and for all.
Okay. Anything else? All in favor of closing the audience portion?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Any abstentions? Okay, we have no ordinances. Reports.
Make a motion to file the report.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on any of the reports?
Just one little word.
Okay.
If they could just be a little bit longer, so they're more informed in the future.
What?
The manager's report, especially.
I can only report with what happened.
Well, we'll discuss that a little bit later.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? That takes us on to old business, the Recreation Commission draft ordinance. What we want now, ladies and gentlemen?
Well, I spoke with Rich because it was Miss. I had talked about it and sent the minutes to it at the last meeting about adding language regarding the grant, and then also adding that if you could give more of the specific, Rich, mentioning the background checks, not necessarily. It's more along the lines of if we have to abide by any ordinance. So if we have an ordinance or a resolution for background checks, then they would...
Yeah, I put that on. Dick was going to put that in the last part because he didn't. So, yeah, I know I read.
Oh, okay. So anyway, he's going to add those two things.
Oh, okay. So that was really discussed. He's going to do that. Okay.
No one
seems to look at. I know what I thought.
The council is still going to set the fees, right?
Correct.
Okay. So if we have...
That was established via the ordinance in 2010. The recreation director presents to you by, I believe it says March of the following year, their recommendations for approval by council.
Okay, so if there's new programs that are instituted during that, outside of that time frame, there can't be any charges associated with it. Or does it have to come to the council?
Well, if there's a new program that's not listed in the fee ordinance, the ordinance needs to be amended to include that program or activity in order to charge for it.
Okay, so there can't be any money taken until that...
It's hard for me to answer yes
right.
or no.
Listen, there's some programs that senior citizens, there's a senior citizen program that's supposed to be some kind of exercise thing going on down there in the swimming pool, and
mm-hmm.
they charge $60 for it. We didn't have a senior exercise.
Correct, that's
program.
Part of our swim program.
Part of our
we're
program.
Including that as part of our swim program.
I'm not following the swim program.
I mean,
like swim lessons?
Yeah, I mean, we have swim programs, swim lessons.
Yeah, but we have a
different
fee for swim lessons.
We have a different fee for joining the pool. We have a different...
If I may, just, I'm not even sure what event you're referring to.
It's
water aerobics, I think it is.
Yeah, something, no, what's the new thing, the Zumba or whatever it is?
Okay.
Zumba in the water.
So, say that again, because...
Zumba in the water.
So, they're running a new program? Okay, and that's what I'm asking, because this is, again, when I'm just hit with something, I don't know...
It's seniors, and there's a fee of $60 attached to it.
No, those are two separate entities.
Pardon me?
Those are two separate entities. The senior swim and the Zumba aerobics are two separate entities.
But they're both in the pool. I hear what she said.
I did, that we heard.
I didn't hear. And I'm sitting right here.
I guess apparently they're having two new programs.
I don't think it is what you're asking.
That we have...
I'll look in to see what the specifics are. I don't know the answer. Again, this is, when I hear it here. What was the other? You said Zumba and senior what?
Aerobics.
Senior swim.
Senior swim.
Senior swim.
There's also a the team pool party, the other one.
Are they charging for that?
Yes.
So they're charging, we didn't set these fees. So how can they come up with...
They have a 30
overclock. I mean, there's nothing wrong with having the new program, but they're going to have to...
All right,
okay. Back to the draft ordinance. As opposed to new programs. Are we good with what we have here? Is this what council wants? I'm sorry, Mr. Higgins?
I would say.
Okay.
Except for the couple things that Janine had just mentioned.
Something with the
grant and background check reference.
Yeah. Okay. Two things where language should be but other than that.
Okay. Have you suggested language, Mrs. Glaber, or?
I've already talked about it.
Okay.
She and I spoke on it the other day.
Okay. So we can take care of this discussion and move on?
Mm-hmm.
Done. Next thing we have is the resolutions, new business, 91-2011, a resolution.
Well, Mayor, I have one thing for old business, I'm sorry.
Okay.
As far as the phases for the new lighting and the building, Rich, I know they installed some in the fire bays, looks really good, very bright. What's the next phase going to be, and where are they going to start next?
Well, they have to finish in this building, they're not completed yet.
Okay.
They have to go to the library and place the AC unit.
Okay.
And the second phase, we applied for funding.
Okay.
We can't specify what we're using it for. We have to determine what the state determines whether you're eligible first.
Okay.
Then it asks you what programs you want to use. So
And again, with the first phase, what would that consist of again? That was
all the lighting in the building.
Okay.
Was replaced. And the oldest AC unit at the library will be replaced.
Okay, so they're not done replacing the lights just yet?
No,
okay.
They have to replace exit lights and some switches.
Yeah.
And
that could take probably a couple months maybe.
It all depends.
Okay.
Okay,
just curious, thank you. Sorry, Mayor.
No problem. That brings us to resolution 91-2011, certification of the annual audit and the corrective action plan. Someone like to move that?
Second.
Okay. Question. Mr. Higgins, you started off. I heard you first.
Well, with the audit itself, I know you
thought you were not. I want to clarify. Is the resolution just for the annual audit, or where does it say the corrective action plan?
I highlighted a couple pages here. With some questions on it. All right, you have to, on page 19, general capital fund.
Yep.
Okay, that's where we took pretty much all our inner funds from, right? Okay, I thought we had a balance of $100,000 in there, and I might be reading that wrong. When we did the budget, we had like $100,000 in there.
What page are you on?
19.
And because last year we took the 75,000 or 70,000, we cut that in half to 35,000, that brought us down to, I think, 115,000 in the capital.
Or the capital improvement fund.
That's something different.
Pardon me? Okay, that's, okay, that's fine.
Page 19 is the capital improvement fund balance. The capital improvement fund itself has 117,000.
Okay.
Which is considered C10.
Okay.
I'm good with that. I just want
Page 9.
I've read it wrong.
Okay.
I just wanted to put it.
Page 9.
That's right. Where? Dave?
Pardon me?
The microphone direct towards you.
Oh, okay.
Page. Page 44.
Let me talk.
I'm already by that. He explained that. Okay, I'm okay with that. Page 44, the pension plans. If we reduce the amount of employees we have, why did we increase our contribution to the retirement system by basically 100%?
Well, you had a deferral pension in 2010. You only paid 50% of your bill.
2009.
You took a vote to defer your pension bill 50%, and in 2010 you paid 100% of your bill. So if you take 68 times 2, actually is, say, 130 something thousand. In addition, 2010 pension bill is based on 2008 numbers because the state is 2 years behind, so you will see the savings of your pension probably in 2013.
These are numbers the state gives us. It's not like we get these numbers before we put them into the budget from the state, and they've got their own method of their calculation, amortization reports, actuarial reports, and all kinds of life expectancy, and then, the governor was tinkering with how long someone had to retire to try and fund it. But basically, it's, the pension system's, pretty much going broke, and it's going to be on our backs.
Okay. I understand
that. So, it's increasing.
But I do have another question. So, if we only paid 50% in 2009, but we paid 100% in 2010, when is the other 50% from 2009 due, and how do we start planning for that?
The deferral will be repaid starting in April 2012 over a 15-year period at 8.25% interest.
So why don't we pay it off early?
Because 15 years. Want your interest, even if you.
But can we pay it off? You're talking about $60,000 basically.
Mm-hmm. Plus interest.
For now.
That's 2 points.
Two tax points.
Just on the principal. But they would want the interest anyway, and you would...
Wait a minute. They want 15 years worth of interest if we pay it off early? How is that legal? How can that be?
That was the deal when the deal was on the table to defer the pension.
How come we weren't told about that? I know we voted on it here, but it was a deferral. To defer it. It wasn't saying, listen, no matter if you defer it or not, you're still going to get stuck with 15 years worth of interest at 8%. Did anybody, you voted on a deferral, didn't you, Patrick?
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you? Why didn't we know that?
We knew the interest rate was the payout.
But we didn't know that we were going to have to, if we paid it off early, we were still going to have to pay 15 years worth of interest.
I think the offer was sending the state early to hold in some type of trust if we didn't know the interest.
Wow.
Remember?
Are you kidding me?
Excuse me a minute. Rich, can you adjust the air conditioner? I think it's a little just too cold in here.
Wow.
You got to be loving it.
Yeah. Hang me here, I guess.
Who do we contact about this? We call Chris?
No, I mean, you started to your legislators, sort of, your assemblymen. I mean, they would bring up something. Assembly can, bring it.
Council comments.
Congressman, Senator, Mayor.
Anything else for the Water Mr. Higgins?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay, just so I'm clear, on page 47, the $1.2 million there, note 16, oh, page 47.
In here. Yes.
That is the total amount of interfund that we need to pay back now.
Yes.
As of December 31st.
Yes.
$1.2 million.
Yes.
Okay. I think I have two more questions. Well, actually, I have three more questions. Okay, never mind. That was a chapter one. Okay. This right here, this one is near and dear to my heart. It's called $309,064.30.
What page is that, Mr. Higgins?
That would be page 91. That is Ordinance 12-2007, various improvements and purposes. Now, that's the $309,000 that we received back from DOT for the downtown streetscape. Is that correct?
No. This is the $309,000 you have later on the executive session, I think.
Mm-hmm.
This
was the remaining balance of the contribution from the developer downtown. You're thinking
$390,000.
$390,000 with the DOT. That's what you're thinking.
Okay. So why is this going to be talked about? Why is this going to be talked about in executive session?
It's what you asked at the last meeting.
Remember the request that council needs to do.
Okay, but can I talk about the $309,000?
You can talk about what it is and everything. What you do with it. Yeah. As long as you don't breach to the executive side.
Okay, but all right. So the $309,000, that was used to pay back interfunds, right?
No. These are improvement authorizations. They can only be spent for the purpose that they're intended for.
Are you saying the cash was used for the interfunds?
Yes.
The general capital cash was used to load some money to other funds, yes, and that's why there's interfund between general capital and sewer, yes.
Okay, so this $309,000 then was loaned?
Yes.
And it was paid back?
No.
It's part of the
interfund. You have 892889.
But wait a second, we had cash on hand. This is the question that I have. We were given cash.
Mm-hmm.
We took a vote on putting that aside specifically for specific reasons. And now you're telling me we don't have.
You can't do that.
You can't just do what?
No, you put it for specific reasons, and it's sitting for that reason. As far as the improvement authorization is dedicated for that reason, your cash, you don't have it to back that reason. And if you have to spend it, we'll have to shift the inner funds. But at the same time, you have this money dedicated for that particular project, and it's not used for any other project.
Okay, explain to me shifting the inner funds to get that money.
It's got general capital needs to spend the money, and it doesn't have the cash, but it has the bills that are general capital related. Current fund will loan general capital the money to pay the general capital bills, and then whenever sewer pays general capital, that general capital will turn around and pay that current fund back.
Okay.
Like a house card.
Let me see if I understand this, because now I'm confused as all get out. We got a check for $309,000. We cashed that check. We had cash. We took that cash, instead of using it like we decided that we were going to do.
No.
What do you mean, no?
It's always there, that intended. We never took it away from the approval organization. Just the cash was loaned. But the intended purpose never changed. You just can't do that. The approval authorization stands on its own. The cash can be interfund between other funds. but the intended purpose has to always be there. That would be against bond law, and I would...
Okay, I understand what you're saying.
I would qualify the audit report.
That the purpose always has to be there.
Yeah.
But if we as a council took a vote to say that that cash was to be put somewhere and left there for this specific purpose, how does it get used then to pay back an interfund?
It's the cash. You can't dedicate the cash. You can dedicate the improvement authorization, but the cash you just can't dedicate itself. You can dedicate the improvement authorization, but the cash we receive from bond ordinances or bond anticipation notes or DOT grants that come in, that's just cash. That could be loaned back and forth, but the intended purpose always stays there.
Okay. Yeah, I think your question is, though, who at what point used that cash in those interfunds? Somewhere along the line. That's why it's all mixed up in these interfunds.
Before 2009.
Right, so...
I know that, but supposedly we took the action in 2009 to specifically dedicate that. Listen, in 2010, March of 2010, I asked the question, Resolution 62-2010 was a change order for downtown streetscape. This is right out of the council minutes. I asked specifically what the money will be used for when it's received. The response I got was that money, along with the money from Mr. Van Cleef, will be used to pay for a specific purpose. And it's right here. Okay, now, I asked if that was voted on. And the response I got was, as a follow-up to my question, when council asked me to earmark the remaining Van Cleef and DOT grant funds to pay for whatever, it took place on 9/29/09. So if that money was specifically earmarked by a vote of council, how did it get used to pay the interfund? I know, I'm driving you crazy. I don't understand. We had cash on hand from this guy. We took that cash and we paid our bills with that cash. Although the purpose of the cash is still there. Mm-hmm. Where do we get the $309,000 from, though? From the interfunds.
Right, as they're paid back.
Okay, so we paid $600,000 in interfunds last year.
Okay.
Is that now going to drop to $300,000?
No, you have 800 from 9 to 889 due to general capital from Stewart's capital.
When are we going to get that?
Well, you raised 100,000 in this year budget.
Okay.
So that's dropping it. And you can raise 200 next year, and that's your...
But my point is...
But he said, I asked that. Okay, so now we're getting into the executive session. I asked that, and he said, we can't do that.
You can't do what?
Well, you just said.
You're raising it in a budget.
You're raising
we're
in the
raising,
budget.
We're,
right.
We can't
our,
dedicate. You
the
said,
sewer,
we would,
no.
The sewer has projects, and what we're doing is we're raising
we
the money in the budget
to
pay off the projects that were already done and improve authorization. So we raise it in the budget, that raises the cash, the cash, and then we can start paying it back. But right now, there's a cash shortage in the sewer capital. So it has to be raised in the budget as a deferred charge to pay off bills that were paid in the past.
I still go back to this. We had cash on hand. We as a council actually took a vote to dedicate that cash for a specific reason. That, although the purpose is still the purpose, the cash is gone.
I think I know what
right,
you're
so
referring to then.
We raise it through tax.
Cereal bond?
Right?
No.
We're not going to raise it.
No,
we can't raise it.
I thought you just said we're going to raise $100,000.
No. We're going to raise $100,000 to pay sewer because sewer had projects done and they never raised, borrowed the cash to fund their projects. They went to general capital and took
the $390,000.
They took,
right, so
that
was the cash.
They borrowed the money instead of going on the open market and borrowing from a bank.
Okay.
They took the money from
my
general
question
capital.
Now is,
they not have to pay back general capital.
Who is they?
Well, whoever borrowed it before 2008.
But we didn't get the... Wait a second.
Shut up.
This isn't a funny thing here. We didn't get the money
That the money was done in 2009, so how could we do it in 2008?
If I may, I think I know the answer to your question. We didn't appropriate the cash to pay off the parking lot. The request that came from is earmarked the balance of that 309 could have been used for anything now related to that ordinance.
No, that's not true. I have it right here. It was specifically dedicated for that purpose.
And it still is. Like I said, I see where your confusion is, and I think I can explain it. So just let me finish here. The money came in from Jack Van Cleef, however many years ago, X dollars in cash. Some of it was spent. Right? In 2009, September, is when I said to this governing body, spend the balance of that money outlined in that ordinance associated with what we're going to speak about in executive session. Okay? I didn't say spend the cash. I said spend that money, because technically you could have spent that money in whatever was approved in that ordinance. Say there was five things approved in that ordinance that the money could have been spent for. I said spend it on this one, not these other four. That's what council approved, to spend that money on the balance of what we're going to be speaking about. No, not the cash, the money in the ordinance.
The ordinance.
They're two very different things.
What Natasha was saying, if you need to charge off one of these ordinances for a specific purpose, we can loan the money from current funds into general capital.
Okay, stop right there. Loan the money
from current. Interfund loan, whatever.
Okay, so if we don't have the cash on hand and we want to use that $390,000, does that come out of projected surplus? Does that come out of our general account right now?
Just cash.
It comes out of cash.
Okay, so what would happen if we didn't need to do that? Where's the cash coming from?
Current fund.
So we have a cash balance of current fund. Current fund is like for this year.
Yes. Yeah.
So that $309,000 then would be taken out of this year's budget.
No.
Just cash. Because we're loaning the money.
Budget is budget.
It's a loan.
Cash is
cash. It's an interfund. So it's just a loan. It's just I'm paying
so
you.
So why do we have this much cash? And it doesn't count as a fund balance. It doesn't count.
You have fund balance. You have fund balance of $600,000. You're anticipating $300,000 in the budget. You still have $300,000 in the fund balance.
I understand. Is that where that money's coming from?
That's the cash.
Well, no, because I have
that's the cash.
If you look at the balance.
So now you're creating a new inner fund.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
But why? That's his point. Why do we have to create this new winter fund when we had already dedicated this cash?
$390,000 cash.
You dedicated the project. You didn't dedicate the cash. There was no.
I think he. Okay. I wasn't here.
The problem arises, I think, when all the projects need to get paid at one time. Is that correct or not?
And they, whenever the bill comes in, we pay the project. Last year there was many bills come in for the payment of the municipal garage. Thanks. The bills were coming in. If the cash wasn't available, then...
Oh, no, I understand how it all happened, but his point is that that wasn't supposed to happen, and it did. So he's wondering, how did that happen?
General Capital has enough cash to fund its own project. Unfortunately, Stewart Capital borrowed the money...
We understand all that.
Until they pay back, there's always going
to be these interfunds, right.
Until we slowly peel it back. And, you know, having $37,000 at this point, you cannot raise $900,000 in one budget, pay off the inner fund, and be done and start moving. It takes a couple of years, not a couple of years, but it's going to take years to raise $900,000 until you're ready to pay off the general capital and ready to pay off the current fund and everything that's
going to happen. The point that I want to get to is the $1.2 million at the end that our balance was at the end of 2010 now will be $1.5 million after this transaction.
What is the $1.2?
With the interfund.
That's the interfund balance.
Oh, the interfund.
So if this action takes place, that $1.2 then will go to $1.5.
Well, you got
to... If you need to spend money out of general capital, yes.
I thought that's what we were trying to avoid. And I thought by...
Well, that's the reason why we pretty much, when we got here, I said, you're in trouble with general capital. You need to stop all bond ordinances and all major projects until we figure this whole game plan out, which we have a game plan, and we're trying to do the best we can with the constraints of the budget, the 2% cap, sewer fees. There's just so much we can do, so many balls we can just juggle in the air.
So that then will either extend our debt payment to pay back interfunds, the payment schedule to pay back interfunds.
No, because the moment sewer pays general capital,
right,
general capital turns around and pays first. It doesn't extend anything.
But we have to get the money from the sewer first, and we only put in the budget this year $100,000.
Yeah.
So we're $200,000 instead of $1.5 million, it's going to be $1.4 million.
But what you're saying is it's going to extend the time because you have to pay $900,000 and $300,000, and it's not. Because the moment you pay $100,000 from general capital, from sewer to general capital,
it
they turn around
by
and immediately decreases this year.
By $100,000.
So it will be parallel. All of those interfunds will be cleared.
That I understand. You take it from here and pay it to here,
and
it decreases
there.
It there.
Right.
Okay, I understand that.
Our sewer utility did wind up with a good fund balance, but we want to make sure because of that, we just want to make sure that's consistent so that we can anticipate give it back into the budget to raise possibly more money to start paying more deferred charges to give back to general capital. But we want to make, I mean, this is the first year it went up because we increased the sewer fees last year. So we just want to make sure there's nothing that's going to change our projections so that we can start increasing how much we're going to anticipate in fund balance to increase the amount of deferred charges we get to pay off so that we can send that money back to general capital.
Okay, so just a couple more questions. So $309,000 or $390,000 was spent. That $390,000 is going to be raised through some type of either user money through the sewer, or it's going to have to be raised to pay it off by tax. It's either going to be used from the sewer money, or it's going to be put in a line item to pay, like we did with the sewer, $100,000.
It's going to be raised as a deferred charges, because that's what it is, deferred charges for future taxation, or deferred charges
for taxation.
For sewer, because that's a sewer,
it's in the sewer
inner fund. So you're going to raise it as a deferred charge in sewer, you're going to put it in a sewer capital from the sewer operating budget.
But the bottom line is that we have to pay for that. We have to get that money,
correct,
that $390,000 from somewhere,
right,
to pay it back.
Because you built capital
when we had it in the first place. That's my point. We did.
Well,
we got
it. You're not raising $309,000. You're raising $889,000 in sewer that you never had in the first place, and you spend the money without cutting them. And that's what you're raising. The moment you raise your $890,000 in the sewer, you're going to pay loan back of $309,000 that you always had and you never raised and you never will.
But the $100,000 was put in the sewer budget.
All
right. Right.
Yes.
And how is that being raised? By
that's
user fees.
User fees.
Thank
it's
you.
Not a part
my
of
point.
But
it doesn't matter. It's still coming out of the taxpayer's pocket
because
when we had the cash.
No. Because the project was spent and you didn't raise the funds, and we had those grant receivables that were bad.
All right, how do we have to raise the funds when we have the cash on hand?
Okay, you had a cash in general capital. It has nothing to do with sewer. You didn't have money in sewer.
I understand.
To build the sewer project, the $100,000 you're raising it now, you're not raising for the general capital. You're raising it for sewer because you never funded the project
and
you paid the money. So the moment you raise the sewer money to pay the sewer, you're going to pay the loan to general capital. That has nothing to do with raising money in the budget.
Okay, that gets back to my question. How did the money get paid cash that we were given for a specific purpose? How did that get used for something else? Because they didn't have the money and we had the cash to give them?
Correct.
But the cash is not used for a specific purpose. proof of authorization is the specific purpose, and it's still there, no matter where we send the cash,
that's
we
not
still
true.
Have the money.
Yes, I want to get, I need a copy of the developer's agreement for that project.
It wasn't in the develop. That money was accounted for in that bond ordinance that you.
I want a copy of the developer's agreement for that right there.
That was.
And I want to know where the $750,000 went to.
It was accounted for in that ordinance. Again, we spoke about this.
I
can
answer
that,
but I want a copy of the developer's.
Sure. Do you remember when that was? Because that was prior to me. I don't know what year it was.
2007. Right?
That's when the project was
approved. You remember the date September 18th of 2007.
That's important.
But that's what accounts for that.
So it was
probably 06? I don't know.
2007. I was on the council, so it had to be 2008. I got on the council, right?
You were here when I don't know.
I don't know.
No, 7 I think you came on.
So 2007 is when the...
You went in 6.
Justin, were you at the planning board then?
I guess there was.
Was that when that project was approved?
I think it was.
I'll get the developer's
went after that when he gave the cash donation, or the donation.
And some of what you're asking, Mr. Higgins, I think may come out in the forensic audit.
So you're... Wait.
I hope. Yeah. Because you're asking where exactly that went, I think that's probably where that would be discovered. I have to look at my notes.
Well, you have to look at the bond ordinance. It might have been written into the bond ordinance.
And that was 12?
Separate developers agreement. He was going to give a donation of $500,000 to the town for the purchase of a piece of equipment
at the time
that I can't talk about. But instead, he had to come back because of COA regulations. He had to give a higher amount. There was a developer's agreement where the town accepted $750,000.
In which year?
2007, 8 or 9.
Well,
you can look at the audit report and see where the cash went.
It was for specific purposes.
I think it was for parking improvements, wasn't it? Downtown parking? I don't.
It wasn't downtown parking.
I never saw the developer's agreement. I only read the ordinance.
So we'd have to do a little research to find if it was written into a bond ordinance or if it was received into current fund. But you just can't receive money and just spend it any way you want. There's specific laws on that.
But that's my point.
If you wanted to spend it, we could receive it in and set up in the bond ordinance.
No, it was. It was set up in that 2008 ordinance or 7 ordinance you referenced. The full amount of the contribution from the developer was accounted for in that ordinance.
You're right, but we didn't spend it all.
There's
correct.
The
you spent everything except 309.
390, I think.
309. 390 is the DOT project.
Yeah,
390, that was the DOT.
And it's still there. And it will be there until you spend it.
Okay. But the cash is
there. The cash is
not there. That's all I'm trying to say.
It's a receivable. In the business world, we have cash and receivables.
In my world, listen, if somebody gives me a check for $390,000 and I go to the bank and it ain't there, I got a problem. That's the real world for me.
They would question.
Well, look at banks. Banks sell mortgages and they've got huge receivables.
Well, that lady's taking care of the mortgages with the bank. I would like to see a copy of the developer's agreement, and we'll go back over that. But I have a problem with, especially the paperwork that we have where we dedicated that for a specific reason.
So now what happens? You want to pull that cash back out to pay something else.
We don't have
it. Something else is going to go more into debt now?
There's no debt. It's going to, current fund is going to loan.
It's going to loan it to
someone else. It's going to be another interest.
Right.
We're trying
one
to avoid
a receivable on the other.
But as long as it keeps track of it, it's no big deal.
So in essence, you're going to owe more money.
You owe me, I owe you,
well,
you owe
well,
me.
Do you remember the analogy I gave at our last meeting?
It still can be.
When we were in close
session. Yeah,
that's what this is. That's all this is. That same analogy.
But everybody, I shouldn't say everybody. I think everybody that's questioning is missing the point. We received cash. We cashed a check. We had our grubby little paws on $309,000 that we're going to have to borrow from somebody else now to get, from another account to get, when we had that money dedicated based on the paperwork for a specific reason.
And I even asked the question if it was going to be put into an interest-bearing account.
I think that money was spent before you had it dedicated.
Dave, that money was spent in 2007 and 2008. When I asked for council's approval, it was to, again, like I said, if you have an ordinance that has five parts, I wanted you to spend it on one part.
It was spent in 2008?
I'd have to go back and check. It was prior to me. That money was...
Why in 2010... Does it say we acted on that on September 29th, 2009?
I don't know what you're... What are you reading?
I'll show it to you. I don't want to get out of my chair.
Just to move away from interfunds for a minute, I got a quick question for Thomas. No. It's still within the sewer kind of realm, but it goes to page 130 in your report, in your comments, other comments, number 5. I just have a question, how the sewer revenue reports do not agree to the general ledger that caused us to take this separate in-house billing. I want to know, you know, more about that. I just, you know, I need background.
The Edmund system report wasn't broken out enough, and we were having problems with the Edmund report. You want to...
I guess. When we brought the sewer in the house, we created revenue accounts to account for industrial and commercial fees, or capacity fee, and sewer fee. What, since we're transitioning and, you know, I guess planning as we go, we didn't create enough revenue codes. So some, let's say, reserve capacities were recorded as sewer receipts. So when Tom came in, we had to manually separate those fees. So our general ledger had the total amount correct, but they weren't in the right pocket. So this year we actually created reserve capacity, we created industrial and commercial, we created sewer rent receivables, so the fees go into the right, I guess, a lot.
But the totals were always correct.
The totals were correct.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just a matter of the one didn't agree with the other.
I understand.
That's
okay. Yeah. Thank you for clarifying that. That's all.
Mr. Glebe, you have some?
I feel bad because I actually, you know me, I have a lot of questions, so we might be here a while, but if we have to take a vote on something, I have to ask the question, so I apologize in advance. But I thank you, first of all, for getting to us before the deadline this year. That makes a big difference, and I know everyone's been working very hard to fix all these things, so I don't want anything to be misconstrued or taken the wrong way or that I'm not happy or anything like that. I just... And I don't want to point fingers or say it was somebody's fault, but do you think, like, 60% of the recommendations from last year are back on the recommendations this year? Is it because we got the audit so late last year that they didn't have enough time to make those fixes? Because some of them, I feel, I don't understand why they couldn't have been fixed, like the animal control one or the cash receipt with the clerk. Like, those particular type of ones, why couldn't they have been... You know, I guess you know what it is? Because last year when we got the corrective action plan, and I'm pretty sure Councilman Boyle had the same problem, we had a problem with the whole, implemented, that it was already implemented, and yet here they are back on the recommendation list again. So I guess, I don't know, can we change our corrective action plan where we put in a deadline, or I understand some of them, like the interfunds we're going to have for the next few years, there's no getting around it, but like I was kind of surprised that so many were back on there, that they weren't fixed. And I know we're really working hard to fix so many things. So I have, like, a concern with the corrective action plan again, although this year it does seem to be a little bit more, you know, detailed and make sense when you read it. So I don't know if... And also, you know, is there some way the manager or the CFO can let us know when things have been completed? Like, I'm assuming, which one? I know offhand, I know which ones we actually did, like the recreation fees approved by ordinance or the pay-to-pay legislation. I know certain things were completed based on the resolutions, but say, for example, one of the recommendations on the 2009 report was continued actually from 2008, and it's not on there at all this year. But I never heard anything about it. So, like, am I to assume then, for example, the one I'm talking about is the analysis of the payroll agency account maintained on a monthly basis, like that's being done? Like, it would be good for us to know, you know, when things are accomplished, you know, or completed better, you know, instead of having to, like, go back and see. And I guess if you could just speak to the point of when some of these will be
like, address, I guess, again, I still have my problem with that there, it was implemented, but really they're not. We still have the problem. I guess my definition of implemented is it's completed and done.
For example,
I don't get to my specific page number questions.
For example, obviously the first common is going to be there for...
Right, right, and I understand that, yeah.
For example, comment number two. When I said implemented, it means I'm researching the balances, I'm doing the due diligence to make sure that I understand what exactly is transpiring. So I'm implementing that comment. I think right after this one, you have a resolution to cancel general capital fund and to facility the capital, which is the comment number two. But it doesn't take a day to have it done. I mean, first I needed to call the state to confirm the balances. We needed to pull engineering records. There was a lot of work that needed to get done before I could say yes.
Go ahead and do it, yeah.
So all that work was done in 2010. Yeah. And then I just now have, and then I waited for the audit report for this year to make sure that the balance I have to cancel matches what Tom will have as this balance. Because what if I cancel 135,000 and he comes back with the 139? I want the number to be exact. So I waited for his audit report, and obviously the comments will show up again. And you have that resolution to cancel. And that's for the comment number two. Now, the general ledger for capital and listed on general ledger does not use subsidiaries. There is actually a lot of reconciliation that was done last year, and there is going to be more done this year. We canceled many capital ordinances last year, if you remember, you had some, and we're probably going to cancel a little bit more, whatever is left. But it's not a one-day project. I can't just sit down and say, okay, cancel this, finding is over.
I guess maybe can we change the wording instead of saying that it was implemented? Can
I
we say like?
Ongoing.
But yeah, now that's what I'm saying. It was changed. But again, I was just surprised that so many were back on from last year when I knew that everyone was fixing so many things. So
right.
I thought they were fixed.
Right. But it takes time to get a certain thing, and because of the also how long it takes to get something done, and then the audit comes in. And it might be taken another 2-3 months after that. Like, for example, on a dog...
Right. Like, it seemed like 2 years, they weren't available. Like, how could they not be available?
What happened is Christine's year is May to May.
Ah.
So when Tom came in and didn't have the dog pad, he said, don't throw away the next year. Well, for her year was May to May, so she didn't throw away the next her year. But Tom's year is January through December.
That's
missing half a year.
So now this year we actually communicated and understand that it's
I guess because this year then, we have two new ones on here in addition to some of the ones from last year. Like, do you think I'm not familiar. This is only my second, audit getting. I mean, because I know we're on the right path. Do you think next year we'll, have less, we're not going to have more mistakes? You know what I'm saying?
These are just more house cleaning chores.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, a lot of them some of them might go away. The problems we had with the Edmund system might go away.
They might be.
The tax overpayments need to be reviewed. There's a lot of paperwork that's ongoing because there's a lot of them, and there's some issues that that I was told that need to be researched a little more. So the tax overpayment one might be there. The deferred charges basically you expended money and the ordinance is over 5 years old and it's unfunded.
Yeah, I'm gonna, we can get back to that because I have a couple of questions on that.
And what's
your overall, last year you told us, what's the overall, the bottom line? Last year you gave us the bottom line last year when you met us. How are we doing?
Bottom line is we're progressing to a point where I think we have our general ledgers are 100% up to snuff. We have bank reconciliations that tie in. We just need some tweaks on this Edmund system.
Mm-hmm.
The sewer problems, that's pretty much fixed by now because, taking it into the house, We still got some house cleaning chores to fix up, but for the most part, we have fully functional general ledgers, and we have a healthy fund balance now in our current fund and in the sewer utility. And we're working on the problems with these interfunds. Me, Rich, and Natasha sat down at the, we did make the conference with the SAWDA, and we came up with pretty much brainstorming plans.
Is that your, quote, game plan? Could we get a copy of that game plan, like something in writing?
Well, it was just more of a brainstorming session.
But it would be good only because we're on this policy thing and we like to come up with a five-year plan for the borough. So if we could know the financial game plan, that would be very helpful to us.
Yeah, there's some debt service that might be, I'm just giving you debt service that might be going away that we might be able to use to pay off more in the budget of these deferred charges. But yeah, we can come up with something.
Okay, let me move on to the questions because I know it's getting late. On page 5 and page 47 and page 16, interfund thing. On page 5. Let's go start with page 5. Sorry, let me start with page 5. You see the column with interfunds? Where is it? Interfunds return, and it says 5,964. I thought it was more like 600,000. So that's what is that column? Like, where can we see the interfunds that were paid off from last year?
Get it in your monthly report when the cash moves from fund to fund, it says in the fund, clear inner funds.
The December year-to-date report last year shows you the total inner funds.
So why wouldn't it be like somewhere in here? Or for example, on page 47, go to page 47 then. In the 2009 audit, that page, I think it's actually page 47 in the 2009 one, the grand total then was $1,360 million, give or take a few dollars. And now this year it's $1.2 million. So if I did the subtraction there, it looks like we only paid off $144,000. So that's where I'm confused. How much in interfunds did we pay off? I'm like lost with these interfunds. It's like a mental block. I understand what the purpose and what
very
we're doing.
Very confusing. I agree.
But it's the numbers that I'm having a hard time dealing with.
It's something that always changes.
So right. Where would you see that we paid off $600,000 in there? There's got to be something.
That's a good question.
Because when I did my math looking at this, it was $144,000.
No, we didn't pay off in
that.
$600,000 in you just said
because
that to him.
How did we have $600,000 in surplus and $600,000 we paid back in interfunds? That was $1.2 million.
What before did you have $600,000 in interfunds?
No, maybe you misunderstood him. You actually said yes, we paid off about $600,000 in interfunds.
I must have misunderstood.
So how much did we pay off in interfunds last year then? Is it only
162 for current funds?
62.
All right, these are your interfund payable receivables in current fund. If it's a negative, we owe current fund owes it to that fund. If it's a positive, the fund owes the current fund. So, for instance, other trust has a negative $51,000 at the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It now has a positive $4,206. So, in other words, we paid off $51,000 we owed the other trust fund, and now there's just a positive. In other words, now other trust owes us $4,000. That's how that works.
But we don't have a ballpark figure then. I guess. All right.
Either,
so.
Each inner fund is $10,000, and they're in different funds. You can't just.
The audit itself doesn't have a grand total, if that's what you're saying.
Okay, let me, all right, well, I'll look at your December and see on there what the grand total is then for interfunds.
I'm sure you rent my house that way.
And that would be all interfunds, sewer.
No. If I recall correctly, the
the revenue report breaks it down separately between sewer and regular, current fund, didn't it? I don't have the revenue report in front of me.
And you got to remember that sometimes, like, hypothetically, if we have a, like, I have some towns, the money gets wired into, if you have a, you sell notes, a roll of notes, the money, they don't have sometimes all the bank accounts, so they roll the money into current fund, but it owes, but it's supposed to go to general capital. So you might see $1.2 million in, $1.2 million out for current fund. So this one could have been $600 in, $600 out.
And that's what the trust has, it has 104 coming in and then 160 going out, because if the money came in at one time and then they were all paid out plus 61,000 that was in original in the beginning of the year.
So then look on page 16. Those inner fund columns. The number there is. It's hard to understand.
Interfund with the other trust.
And the interfund current fund. It's like the I'm just trying to come up with the number of how much we paid off. And now this year you're saying we're going to pay off about 100,000.
We're going to pay 100,000 in the sewer capital and general capital, and then general capital will turn around and use this money either to pay the bills, if the bill is there, or maybe pay off some of the inner funds. Depends on what, the priorities at that time.
That's 100,000 plus 100,000, 200,000, 100,000.
The same money just travels along the road.
Okay, let me...
Long and right, windy route.
I'll talk to Richard about that. On page 18, and I guess this is another thing I have a mental block with, the deferred charges. Let me see page 18. The deferred charges to future taxation. What is the difference between funded and unfunded deferred charges and then the bonds and loans that we have to pay? That's where I get confused.
Deferred charges...
Because our deferred charge is something we have to pay off.
Yes.
And we have to... I don't understand what are those things that we're paying off?
Okay. The deferred charges funded equal your serial bonds plus...
Deferred charges funded is Green Acres and what?
Green Acres loan to $479,000 and the $6 million, the serial bonds, $6,580,000. You add those two together and you get
$7,059,732,738.27. Okay. On page 18, are those numbers below a breakout of the deferred charges or is that something different?
It's assets and liabilities. It's a balance sheet. So deferred charges just equal what you have in zero.
And your unfunded equals your bond anticipation notes plus your authorized but not issued, which is on the bottom of the footnote.
I think to answer your question, Gene, you want to know, we can pull the ordinances associated with that because the ordinances dictate.
I guess are these numbers part of our grand total debt?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That's what you have on your debt statement.
Okay.
All the bond ordinances that were issued before December 31st that either were funded or unfunded. If we borrow serial bonds, if we permanently finance the capital improvements, then it's a deferred charge funded. If we didn't permanently finance an improvement, for example, the truck, we have a note on the fire truck versus a bond.
Okay.
Then it's a deferred charge unfunded. Every year you have a debt payment in the budget.
Right.
Principal and interest. That principal payment that you budget for serial bonds and then principal for notes, the note principal goes to reduce your deferred charges unfunded in the general capital. The serial bond principal goes to reduce your deferred charges.
So why do we have a separate column, though, for deferred charges? If we're already raising money...
That's how the accounting works.
The state of New Jersey, besides me being a CPA, I have to be an RMA. I have to pass another whole-day test on all this stuff. It's not something that me and Natasha sit around to drive council nuts.
Oh, I don't believe you.
It's a reporting model that was given to us from 1964, and it hasn't changed.
So you're just talking
about... It's an comprehensive basis of accounting other than generally accepted accounting principles.
All right, I'm going to keep going with my questions. I don't know. All right, page 18 again. I'm just curious, what happened to the cash? If that was if we had $115,000 in 2009 in cash assets, we paid bills?
We paid a lot of bills.
Okay. All right, moving along. I'm almost done. All right, page 22. Let me see.
Let me interject.
Yes.
I would take another Saturday to sit and explain this to you guys.
Page 22?
On my own time, the whole Saturday, 5 hours, 6 hours, and go over this in detail with you.
See, I think we should have done that before we're voting on something. That's the problem I have.
Well, I'll put it out there.
The numbers won't change.
I'll give you accounting 101.
Audit 101.
Yeah.
I mean, you need to remember these numbers are reflective of what actually was on December 31st of last year. The numbers won't change whether you sat down in January or September of this year. The numbers are what the numbers are as of December 31st.
But I want to understand the numbers.
No, I'm just letting you know, though.
Yeah. No, I understand that. I know the numbers aren't going to change.
We have the statutory
deadline.
I'm not
asking them to change the numbers. No. I just want to understand the numbers. Okay, I'll defer my questions to that Saturday.
Absolutely. The Rutgers does have courses. I know it's Rutgers.
Well, I'm more interested in our specific numbers, though.
Well, you learn basically how everything works. Rutgers does have those courses. Natasha teaches water.
Like the additional sewer charges of $300,000. I was wondering where that money came from. How we raised $300,000. You know. So it's not like. It's not just learning accounting principles.
Oh, yeah, you're very particular here. I mean, you know, this is something that me and Natasha inherited from previous, and then now we're to a point where we can make good judgments. Like I said, we have fully functional general ledgers. We have, we can make day-to-day decisions because we have day-to-day numbers that are accurate. Now we can come up, like I said, when I first came here, we had a lot of big fires, okay? We put those big fires out. We've got these little fires, which are those house cleaning chores, and we've got this ongoing interfund problem that has to, like I said, it's like a house of cards, but we have a plan. Like I said, we discussed it, not written formally, but we can sit down again.
Yeah, that's fine. I spoke with Rich. I have concerns. To me, the audit is one of the most important things we have, and the budget and our finances. And to get this on a Friday and then have to vote on it on a Tuesday, first of all, I said to Rich, next year I think we should get it and then 2 weeks later vote on it, and maybe within that 2 weeks we could meet with you. I just don't like I think it's a big, huge thing to give council people, and again, we don't have that kind of knowledge.
It's like the school budget. You get a
pile
of papers this high in 3 days to go to school.
But we should have the luxury. If we're getting it in time, getting it like in June, we should have the time to digest it and know our finances.
I think we were being Rich talking. He actually asked me where the audits were, and they were actually delivered on here, and I think Christine was out that day, so I don't know where they actually wound up, but they've been here. They were here for a couple of days.
Right. Well, or something important. If something important like that, then we should get an email saying.
I'm changing my protocol, and I'm sending them to Rich directly now. They were going to Christine. Now my report is going to be delivered to Rich, FedEx, instead of Christine.
Yeah. Well, I guess give us a heads up
out here. And that's not the clerk's fault. She wasn't there that day, so.
Even if she was there that day, I don't come and check my mailbox every day. Saying, oh, they're audits here.
I'm changing my protocol, and it's going to be sent to Reggie.
Right, well, is there any reason that we have to vote on this tonight? Because maybe it is a good idea to wait, digest everything, and come back in 2 weeks and address it again?
No, it doesn't matter. I mean, I can. If we're not seeing him within 2 weeks,
maybe.
And what we're voting on is we're accepting it, and that we've read certain pages of it, as opposed to we understand every page in it and all of that type of stuff.
Okay.
correct?
Correct.
Not that you can change numbers.
Are there any other discussions on the audit?
You know, we beat this enough. I just had just some grammatical concerns. For uniformity and consistency, Higgins wasn't the deputy mayor during that audit. So, you know, that kind of like sends off. What else you got to dig for? But now this whole audit, Terry Hauser was.
All right, sir.
Out of this whole audit, where does it say, in your opinion, how we're doing?
Front page. It says 15 in this.
In our opinion, because of the borough, that first statement there, it doesn't say anything to me.
Yeah.
It's very wordy.
It's the standard language that AACBA and everybody requires.
Well,
you can't
this audit is supposed to be for the council people. Okay.
I guess on page two, going to your point, the last sentence was, our audit was conducted for the purpose of forming an opinion on the financial statements taken as a whole, but it doesn't really tell you what the opinion was.
Right.
And that's why I was asking, well, what's the bottom line?
What's
because
bottom
I,
line?
I didn't see it in those cover letters.
Yeah. So, you know, and then and out of this whole audit.
Good paragraph.
Notes,
Mr.
Notes
but that's more
good paragraph.
Page two.
However, in our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects the financial position of the basis of the various funds transferred to the borough and the results of its operations. That's our opinion. That it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, because if there wasn't, then, well, you're not in accordance with GAAP. That's every municipality in the state. But you are in accordance with the state of New Jersey's Division of Community Affairs. So, if the financial statements referred to above present fairly, and that's standard AICPA government auditing
okay.
language.
It's almost like a separate language, like legalese.
Yeah.
You know.
Page 125, under compliance and other matters, second paragraph. We noted certain immaterial instances of noncompliance that were reported to the management. Where is that in this report?
That's the comments and recommendations.
That's what that is?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Who wrote the corrective action plan?
I did.
Okay. And my last one on page 129, because I know Justin might have a few things to say. As the under general comments, verification of delinquent taxes, second paragraph, the result of the test, which was made December 31, is not yet known. But a separate report would be rendered. Is that report then rendered?
If there's any deviation.
Okay, so there may not be a report?
No. In other words, if I find any problems, we send out verification notices to the taxpayers.
So we're saying this is closed then. This statement here is saying that if you did find a problem, there would be a separate report.
Let me put it this way. If I found a problem, a taxpayer said, I paid $12,000, and I have to review all these responses from the verification notices. If they're not accurate with the taxpayer, the tax collector, then I would have to do some more research. If I found there was a deviation, a fraud, then first of all, I would have to report that to the state of New Jersey with a special report. And then you would be informed of it immediately.
Is there anything that you have to report that you didn't find any irregularities? Because this kind of, to me, leaves it open. It's foreclosure. You're saying you only have to report if you found one. So do we know, have you stopped looking for irregularities?
As of December 31st, I'm done.
You're done.
But if anything came to my attention, subsequently
after the fact.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Then I would have to, so no. I am responsible for everything that happens right up to that audit report thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's why when I get the attorney response, my attorney response is as of December 31st and subsequent events. So if the municipality, the municipal building burnt down, I think that would be a major, something that should be so noted in the audit report.
Right.
So even though it didn't happen December 31st, I'm still responsible. If there was some kind of fraud, I would have to report that.
Okay.
So there are certain things that I am responsible for up to that order.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mayor.
Okay. Mr. Jewell, did you have something?
Yeah, first thing, page 45, the custodial credit risk. If you could just give me a brief of what exactly worst-case scenario, if something does happen where we don't get our money back from the banks here. I mean,
you're protected by the governmental unit protection.
And how much are you protected to? Yeah, sorry.
Up to the last dollar.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
So you're fine. It's only when, the only time I ever have some kind of problem with this is we have LOSAP problem with LOSAP,
right.
And LOSAP invests in riskier things. I would say all that money is in risk, but we don't have LOSAP here.
Okay.
But I do change that note when there are investments. And you're only allowed in the state of New Jersey to invest in certain things where the principal is not, cannot be touched.
Okay.
So, and you check those things. So you basically have your, you invest in CDs, some, checking account, savings account, which are 100% covered.
Okay. My question was answered about the balance we had as far as the debt. I was going to ask that too. The PERS, the retirements for police and firemen. What are we looking for in the future as far as debt? I know that that plan is not really stable or funded properly. More or less a pyramid scheme.
We actually have 2012 bills already came out, and
right.
I can have Rich send you the numbers for what the bill is going to be for 2012.
Okay.
Now, 2013 is obviously in the air because there's so many negotiations and now between the Senate and the House of Representatives,
right.
What the percentage contributions and what the billing is going to be, nobody knows. The 2012 numbers, I'll provide to you.
Okay, in a long-term scenario, like, what's your opinion? What do you think we'll be at? And 5-10 years down the road, you
I can predict that I'll be working for actuarials.
Yeah.
No crystal ball.
Remember, you're with us for the next 5 years.
Yeah, 5 years.
Okay.
I pretty much had my other question answered already, so. And maybe we can get a report, like Mr. Higgins had asked, too, about the next 5 years or a 5-year report, status report of what's going on, because I think it would be a good idea. I know they kind of laughed at him last time. I don't think I was on council at that point, but I think it would be a good idea, and I recommend that.
Okay, any other discussion on the audit? Hearing none, let's have a roll call on this, please.
Roll call what?
On the resolution 91-2011.
That's to accept the report.
Yeah, to accept the report.
Right.
So if you vote, an affirmative vote is saying that we understand it and we accept the report.
No, we says we...
Just to accept this report.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, yes.
Reba?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
Corey?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Takes us to resolution 92-2011 for a street opening.
Wait a second.
Wait.
I'm totally confused now.
Okay.
We gotta accept the corrective action plan.
Oh, yes, you're right.
Well, thank you, Aiden.
You're welcome. And what's the number on that resolution?
I don't have a resolution.
Yeah,
that was my question from the get go.
Okay.
Yeah.
We're just a motion to accept the corrective action. Right. Correct. You don't need a resolution.
Resolution 91, certification of annual audit. Information corrective action plan.
But that's not within the actual resolution. You don't mention the corrective action plan in the resolution.
We got to just make another resolution.
Fair enough. Okay.
Make a motion to accept the corrective action plan as presented.
Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah, I'm not going to. It's no disrespect to the CFO. Wonderful job. I'm voting against the corrective action plan. Councilwoman stated very eloquently that implemented stuff doesn't jive with me. So. Thank you,
Mayor. Okay. Let's have a roll call on that, too, please.
Reba?
No.
Jewel?
Yes.
Corey?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
No.
And that'll take us to 92-2011, for a street opening that's for a return. Accept the motion whenever you're ready.
Make the motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion?
Where was the street? I don't know if I've seen the actual, doesn't say on it. What's the street that they're opening up here?
So they're getting their money back.
Oh, they're getting their money back.
No, yeah, it was the return.
The bond or something?
Yeah, escrow account.
Okay.
So everything.
Now, has the street been properly filled? The proper spec?
We would not have released it if the engineer didn't sign off on it.
Okay. I seen Belvedere Avenue, what happened up here, it's all asphalt, it should have been concrete, that's why I asked. So.
But to make note, that was a required question to be asked.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, anything else? Roll call, please.
Torrey?
Yes.
Higgins?
Stay.
Leifer?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyer?
Yes.
Okay, 93-2011, to adopt the multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? 94-2011.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one?
Yeah, while they're both here.
We're canceling debt, correct? Is that what this is?
No, we're canceling the receivable. We had a receivable set up from DOT for the wastewater DOT.
We ripped up the IOU.
We ripped up the IOU.
Thank you.
And reducing...
We're not getting the money.
Okay.
And then reducing the amount of money.
Okay. No cash, no law.
Okay. Any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Higgins.
Please take him here.
Okay.
Are you reducing the debt or not?
No.
No. This is going back to pay another account.
No. This is, you've had a deferred charges, unfunded, and then you've had a grant receivable from the DOT. You're not going to collect the DOT grant, so you would have to, but you did spend the money on the capital project. Now you have to slowly pay this money back. So it's going to be deferred charges, unfunded at this time. Right.
So this increases the debt?
It increases the debt, yes.
What? Yes.
No.
Well, if you don't cancel it, you're still not going to collect the debt, so you're going to have a finding next year,
yeah.
Comments next year in the budget, in the audit document.
Thank you.
No.
No.
Yes.
Torrey?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
95-2011. Franchise renewal.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Is this, Rich, did you find out? I asked you about this. Is this money going to go into our fund balance?
95? No.
96?
Oh, 95. That's why you're throwing, yeah.
Go ahead, sorry.
No, 95 is a dedication by Ryder.
Okay.
That, yeah, threw me off there.
Roll call, okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? 96-2011.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one?
That's the one. The 96 and 97. But this is the same question. Where does this money go? Like,
they're going back to the general fund and to the fund balance.
Okay.
Yay.
Hey, we've got it in the bucks.
Okay, any other discussion? Roll call, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yes.
Leifer?
Yes.
Torrey?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Good one. 97-2011.
Same thing with this one?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Roll call on that one, please.
Boyle?
Yes.
Jewell?
Yep.
Leifer?
Yes.
Torrey?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Affirmative.
We're rocking that.
Roger, Roger.
98-2011. Tax overpayment refund.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on that one? Roll call on that one, please.
Jewell?
Yes.
Leifer?
Yes.
Torrey?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Higgins?
Yes.
Boyle?
Yes.
How about if we do 99 and 100 together? Sale of surplus property, the MAC aerial scope, and the water reel.
That's what you're asking us, do them together?
Yeah, 99 and 100, unless you have issues with that.
Yeah,
no, I have no issues with that.
I was saved from both of them.
The water reel, fire phone item?
No.
Right, yeah, let's do them separately, just to make it up.
Good point.
99?
I'll make a motion.
Mason?
Second.
I'll second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Do we have a dollar amount for this?
Are we allowed to talk about what we got for it?
Talk about it. I was going to go out for the same dollar amount council asked for last year.
Which was?
Six.
$6?
$6,000.
Okay.
I get $6. I'll buy it. Oh, we can't talk about it.
Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Abstentions?
Abstained. Abby Stain.
Abby Stain. Yeah. Okay. 100-2011.
So moved.
Second.
Go ahead. Whoever you want to bet it.
I have a question. What is the dollar amount on this water reel?
That can be a council decision. Based on the invoices, it's hovering around 13 and change when it was purchased. Okay. So,
and it was already used for a year.
I called every surrounding municipality to see if anyone was interested in buying. No one was. I did some research online, and used ones, regardless of the hours, were selling anywhere between 65 and 75.
Okay. So why are we selling it?
I'm asking. We haven't sold anything.
But why are we doing this? I mean, we don't use it?
No.
We
a couple years ago.
This came up last year.
We paid all kinds of money to have a water line run from the road to that area specifically for this, and now we're getting rid of it?
I'm putting it on because this was council's request last year. Council doesn't want to sell it, we don't have to sell it.
All right.
So vote against us.
I might be dumb, but what exactly is this water reel?
It's a
water
reel.
No.
It
was used for watering the Steinhardt field and the Meadow field.
All over in the Meadow section you're talking about?
Yeah. Okay.
Well, it moves back.
Okay.
We don't.
May I have permission to give council members who don't know about this some history on it?
Sure.
Because at the time, I was the chair, and we were placing sods over at that end of town for the soccer field, baseball field, and there was no way to water the baseball field or the soccer field. So we purchased the water reel. It's a very good water reel. There's nothing wrong with it whatsoever. There was a trailer. I don't know. I mean, it's been in a closed environment, so there should be no rust. It should be fine if it was taken care of the way it was supposed to be. We had a special line put out there. The water company actually did some free work for us. There was actually some work done at the main park so that it could be transported and used up at the main field. It's a very useful piece of equipment if it is utilized properly. And because, especially with you having your sod should be watered seasonally and be kept so that you have your soccer seasons and your baseball seasons. And if you don't treat that sod properly, it's going to die. And that was the whole purpose behind it. So I would truly encourage you not to get rid of this piece of equipment because you have fields up there that need to be maintained.
I also have a comment on that. Thank you so much, Don.
Thank you very much, Ms. Higgins.
Yeah. This is interesting because now, even if we don't use it, maybe this is a potential for us shared services because maybe we can become a provider of a service because we have this piece of equipment that we paid money for, and maybe we can get some sort of other return on it, you know, because if we advertise it the right way, you know, the availability that Washington Borough has this, you know, for rental or for some other use, maybe we can become a provider of shared service. Something to look into,
yeah,
right?
Good point. And possibly if we do decide to do something with this Railroad Avenue Park down the road, who knows, maybe we can use that too. Right. Good point. Good point, Robert.
Any other discussion? Let's have a roll call on this one.
Hayden?
Oh, of course. No.
Boyle?
No.
No.
Jewel?
No.
Lori?
No.
Donald?
Yes.
Might not be allowed back home. She would have called me last time I voted to do it.
Okay. 101 for a street opening escrow again.
So moved.
Second. Okay, any discussion on this one? Roll call, please.
Higgins?
Yes.
Jewel?
Yes.
Yes.
Lori?
Yes.
McDonald?
Yes.
Boyle?
Abstain. I'm on that committee.
For the street opening?
For the
fireworks, right?
No,
the street opening one.
Fireworks is next.
You're on the street committee too, though, aren't you? So that's a...
Apologize.
That's okay.
Yes.
If you pay, you get out of
now we'll go to 102-2011.
You don't look at the numbers.
Second.
Okay, any discussion on this?
I want to say thanks and what a great job those guys did getting back on the fourth for the last couple of years and look forward to it in the future. And,
one advantage to a down economy, huh?
Right. Good job. Very good job.
Sure.
Great to see a tradition staying.
Okay, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Any abstentions?
I'll abstain.
Okay. 104-2011.
Motion to.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Does that mean you have a discussion, Mr. Higgins?
No, I just felt like saying,
Oh, a little indigestion? Okay. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Corey? Yes.
Jules?
Yes.
Donald?
Yes.
Let's see.
Boyle?
Yep.
Okay. Vouchers.
Motion to pay the vouchers as listed.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion on the vouchers?
I got two questions. Page three. I know it's hard to see the page on the Twitter staple, but let's see if I can find it here.
Of what? The regular bills?
Yeah.
Not the sewer operation.
Not the sewer operation.
Not the sewer operation.
There's something with park on here. Quite a big number. Let's see, let's see if I can find it here.
Toilet partition.
Yeah. Yeah, toilet partition. Yeah, that's
what it was. Down.
What page was it?
It's three.
Page three, right?
Let me see here. $3,400.
Okay. How were the bathrooms prior to this? Was that something that was like an absolute need?
Yes, the stall doors, if you actually look at them, they were rusting apart and coming off the walls.
Okay, I just
wondered. I know the one in the men's room in the pool was difficult to keep
bad.
Closed.
Okay, because he did some concrete work, too. That was the other part of that, too, so, for the grinder. Okay, gotcha.
I'd like to just make a comment that I'm glad that the manager had decided not to, to purchase any seafold towels.
We're stocked for a few weeks.
Weeks?
Okay, any other discussion on the vouchers?
Well, I would give a page to some of the other ones.
Okay. Hearing none, may I have a roll call, please?
Boyle?
Yes.
Corey?
Yes.
Yes, abstaining from page 5 and 6, Finelli Consulting.
Yes, abstaining from the fire department and squad of buildings.
Donald?
Yes.
Why, certainly. On everything except the fire department.
Thank you.
Okay. With additional aid.
Okay. Up to our recap. What do we have on your list of things to do, Mr. Palin?
I will inform the clerk to have a resolution on the next meeting in accordance with the request from Mayor Albasani. Notify the state DCA regarding council's decision of the MOU. I will get language as it relates to the endorsement of the Cultural Heritage House, Campbell Cultural Heritage House, excuse me. The actions that council wants to take with the recreation ordinance, I'll make the changes as requested by Councilwoman Kleba. I will follow up regarding the developer's agreement, Councilman Higgins, that I'll copy everyone on. And that's it.
Can I just give Mr. Higgins a copy of it? Maybe have one available in the,
sure.
in the room as opposed to
yeah.
when I was getting a copy.
Maybe
well,
I know
scan it in an email.
Okay,
that's
that works.
Fine.
I know it was one of the later editions, but the water.
Water reel.
Reel.
That went down, so we're keeping it.
Yeah, so maybe we could start to look into maybe ways to think about possibly.
You can bring that up during your council comments. How about that?
I'll do that.
Anything else, Mr. Palin?
No, sir.
Okay, then we'll go to council comments. Mr. Torres.
Yes, regarding the water reel that we just discussed, I'd like to just suggest that the manager looks into avenues to possibly see if we could do a shared service as a provider for that. Thank you.
Do you want to do a shared service or just notice surrounding municipalities that we have such a device available
Either one, either one. I mean, you know,
none of them were interested in purchasing it.
Yeah, but they might have something that we could use, and so barter should service, or else.
Throw a number out, $100 a day, or.
Yeah, as a rental type thing, sure.
Morris County or Hunter County, which I'm sure there's some need down there.
Yeah, especially Hunter, right.
Not just on Warren County, but.
Okay, we'll have the manager look into that and maybe make a suggestion for us.
Yeah, great, that'd be great.
Okay. Anything else, sir?
No, sir.
Mrs. Gleba?
Yeah, two quick things, just to encourage everyone to go out to the pool open house on Saturday. I guess it's free, right, if people want to go swimming on Saturday, as well as go to the car show in town. And then also, I just, with regards to Washington Celebrates America, I know last year we had $500 in the budget and we didn't use it, and then this year we have $500 in the budget. Are we allowed to give some of that money to Washington Celebrates America? Or what are council's plans? Are we saving up to do the tree lighting? Like, what are we...
Last year what we did is we used a portion of it for the National Night Out.
I don't think so. We had an end-of-year balance of $500.
No. We used it for mayor and council last year. We used a small... But this year we shifted it to celebration of public events.
No, but last year it was... Last year there was a specific budget line item, though, for celebrate public, you know...
Correct.
And we didn't use that $500.
Again, last year we used money towards National Night Out, not towards the event you're referring to. This year, of the $500, a portion of it is going to be used for National Night Out, and there is a balance if you choose to use it towards something
else.
What
about the $500 from last year?
That went into fund balance.
It went into...
You can't use last year's money for this year's bill.
So, okay, well, I'd like to make a motion. Since we've already used some of it for National Night Out, you're saying?
Then
I'd like to make a motion that we give the balance towards Washington Celebrates America.
The easiest thing to do is, instead of making a contribution, pay an invoice, pay a bill. You can't write a check as a contribution from the municipality.
Can we split the bill between the tree lighting and Washington
Celebrates
America?
Think the tree lighting cost like $1,000. Remember, it was like ridiculous. We didn't have money last year.
I think it was $1,400.
It was $1,400.
We dealt with a golden tree or something?
And we didn't have money last year. That's what I mean. I wasn't sure. What does council want to do with this money that we...
If they want to use a portion of it, I can reach out to them and, see what invoice needs to be paid.
The township donates $1,000 every year. It's in their budget. But I have to supply them with a bill, a pay bill.
Same kind of thing
here. Yeah, I mean, if the township's given money, I think we should... Well, anyway, I put the motion out on the floor if anyone wants to second it.
I'll second that.
Do you want to give me an amount?
Yes.
Well, I don't know what the balance is for National Night Out.
We used about $350 for National Night Out.
Well, whatever the balance is then of the $500. That's only like $150.
$150, that's a little low.
I wish we had more.
Is there any other money, Rich?
I didn't know we were doing this.
Let's not go outside of the budget.
Well, let's see.
We can correct it next year by...
because I didn't realize we were using it for National Night Out. I think it's... Okay.
Are we still having a conversation on this?
Yes. Sure.
Okay, my recommendation is this. I don't agree with giving taxpayer money to any nonprofit organization. So my suggestion would be this. Let's take a collection up from the council and donate it, make an official donation from the council members of the Borough of Washington to Washington Celebrates America.
Yeah, I have to agree with Councilman Higgins. I'm out of comments. I'm not going to vote. We're keeping this separate, this day separate from taxpayer dollars.
Okay.
A lot of campaigning on that because people were upset.
That's why I initially started it. What's council plan? Why do we have this money in the budget then? I'd rather not put that money in the budget then.
That's true. Right.
Why budget's already passed. If we're not... With the fund balance next year.
Basically, I agree.
Oh, well, I know, but next...
We're giving the money to a nonprofit, but we do
supply Washington Celebrates America with the insurance for the day, correct?
Sure.
That's right. That's right. The dedication...
I remove my motion.
No. Okay. Along those lines, then, do you not want me to make the purchase for National Night Out?
I'm just
speaking of WCA because we've campaigned hard to keep it separate.
And that's fine. If that's not what council wants to do, I'll cancel the order.
National Night Out is also not a non-profit organization, is it?
Yes.
No, that's sponsored by the police department.
It is. Well, I don't know if they might have a non-profit, but it's run through the police department.
It's run through the police department.
I mean, yeah. We were paying an invoice. We weren't paying the police department.
The police department said submit the bill. We pay half of it.
Right? Well, we already know what we were we're just purchasing glow necklaces for them. So they asked us to make a purchase.
They get a bill, then we pay.
Fair enough.
Okay, so Mrs. Glebe, you're...
I remove my motion.
Withdrawing your motion.
That was nice gesture.
Well, now I understand. Next year, I'll be cutting that out of the budget.
Okay, anything else, Mrs. Glebe?
No.
Okay. Mr. Boyle.
Thank you, Mayor. Real quick, I have to say a nice thank to DPW for all the branch removals after that storm. They had a lot to do, and it looks like they did a nice job on that. The garden community has really come together. It's just about filled up there. One of the things I have to say about the Washington Garden community is that that word community, they really take it to heart. There's a gardener that is has some physical limitations, and just on their email blast, there must be seven people up there that's going to rototill and help that person out and get that garden going. So hats off to them. As far as we go forward with the forensic audit, periodical updates, if we could, as to what they asked for, you know, as information documents, what were sent down to them, just so we can have like a live, real-time update what's going on with the audit. And when I say real-time, I'm not, have no definition about daily things
just
of that nature, but incorporate maybe in the weekly report.
They asked for such and such information, or they were in the office kind of thing?
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you. And the last thing, Rich, I was contacted by the resident from Willow Street, who I spoke to you. At least that's what they told me about their...
Okay. The bumps in the... Yeah,
with when the engineer is in town on that day, could we add that to his overview?
He looked at it.
He already did?
Yeah, he looked at it last week. I'm waiting to find out his recommendations.
Fantastic. Well, I appreciate that. That's all I have, Mayor. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Jewell.
A couple things. First thing, I want to bring up some safety issue I see right on Dolinger Avenue here, I'm sure it's a couple other streets too. Some of these crosswalk pads that have been installed from the DOT, and when they did Dolinger Avenue, they're starting to come off the ground. They're loose, prevent the slipping hazard, and maybe somebody could possibly fall and get injured. So maybe we can look into that. There's a few on Belvedere Avenue. I know I jogged through here avidly. I see them there, and see a couple on.
Those things only seem to be good for a year.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if it's a kind of performance bond that's included with that or not. I don't know. Energy efficient lighting from JCPNL. I know I brought it up with Rich, and I called JCPNL to find out about the street lights in town. If there's something else other than what we have now that could be used to maybe help reduce the cost of electricity bills. I know there was some kind of plan they had in place. I don't know if I talked to you about it or I spoke to somebody.
We spoke about it last year. I think it was before you were on council.
I tried to get in contact.
It didn't fall under our grant because we tried that. Okay. They wouldn't buy it. And according to the area manager, when I spoke with them, he said, of course, they'll replace them for it, but they don't have a program.
Okay.
To fund it.
Okay. The other thing, too, is how's the progress on the old Grow Garage parking lot in the back? Is there anything going on, ongoing with that?
You'll know on the next meeting.
Okay.
The interested party
will be
attending.
Somebody asked me about it. Other thing, too, so I noticed some low-hanging branches and trees along the sidewalks in town. That's part of the Shade Tree Commission that actually...
Depends on
that?
Who owns a tree.
Okay.
If you have specific addresses or if you know specific, like as an example, you know, utility companies trim all the trees along the wire.
Right.
Some trees we own, some trees are privately owned.
Okay. I know there's some with a couple of residents that I had a concern. I jog and they're on the sidewalk here. I know some on McDonald Street that were brought up to me, and somebody had brought something up to me on, I think it was close to the Meadow section of town. I want to say maybe around Carlton, off Carlton somewhere. I'll double check the addresses. The other thing, too, is there seems to be a really bad spot on the corner of Gibson and Adams Street, right in front of the house. There's like a real big gouge in the road there. I think it's right in front of the blue house. It needs to be looked at by the road department. Maybe they can...
I'm sorry, you said Gibson and what?
Gibson and Adams. Okay. There's a blue house on the corner there. There's a huge, I don't know what the trench or something. It got eroded over time. It was part of the street and actually just collapsed in. So
we had a few of them with that rain from a couple of weeks.
It's been like that even before the rain. Right. So. And I had one thing I missed on the issues assigned to. We can go back to that for a minute. Number 418. I'll read it out. It says, Don, I received a phone call from a resident behind the parking lot by the condos area that needs maintenance, grass cutting, removal, weeds, and dog poop. I don't know what condos we're talking about. I don't know.
Downtown, we own the property surrounding it. We have to maintain it.
Okay. Is there any chance of us getting some dog poop signs, maybe?
We order them, right.
We are? Okay. I have a problem myself and my own.
As in no poop, sir.
Yeah.
No, at least
the dogs, people should be able to pick up after themselves, too. The worst dogs.
Anything else, Mr. Jewell?
That's it. That's all we got. Sorry it took so long.
Mr. Higgins.
Yeah, of course.
Listen, while you guys are still here, I 15 years for the payback on FERS, and we have to pay 8% interest.
8.25.
Pardon me?
8.25.
8.25, whether we pay it off early or not. Right?
I'll double check.
Okay, if that's the case, get back to the manager, because I'd like to have a resolution for the next meeting to send to Trenton to say, what are you, crazy?
Would you like
just for some history, if I recall correctly, that was one of the conditions of receiving the extra aid in,
yes,
in 09.
Sold our soul. Yes, I voted against it.
Oh, very good point.
That was one
very
of the conditions of the
point.
550. The state
okay,
said if
again,
you want
okay,
additional aid,
no,
you have to defer your pension.
Again, going back, why weren't we told that?
You
oh, wait, we had to
I know you weren't.
No, not that
we
were
told. We had to defer. Oh,
we had to defer, we were told, to get the transitional aid, but
right,
we weren't told that we were going to be paying, even if we paid it off early, 8.25% over 15 years.
I remember paying
the
interest rate being mentioned. I thought it was 8.5, but I don't remember it 15 years.
Thank you. All right. Well, listen, I still want to be crazy.
Okay.
The crosswalk lights are working.
Yeah,
I've seen that. Did they just fix those sensors there, or have they because the engineer said he was going to install a button?
We're getting prices on the button.
Okay.
We had all four columns rewelded and replaced all 12 bulbs.
So it's on automatic right now?
Yes.
Solar power.
Oh, okay. All right, let's see here. All right, listen, it was my suggestion for Washington Celebrates America that the council donate. Do we want to set an amount per? I think it should come from everybody on the council.
I think we should just leave it to the individual to...
Yeah.
Put into the hat what they can.
Individual financial situation.
We're missing people tonight, though.
All right, here's what we'll do. It. You're open for business until the 4th, right? Right? The Washington Celebrates America?
We're open all year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. At the next meeting, we'll take, when everybody's present, pass
a
hat and
give
it.
Give what you can.
Okay. Let's see. Heat advisor. Again, everybody's laughing at 19 years.
She was talking about 8.25%. I heard it.
Let's talk about $309,000. Anyway, there's a heat advisory that was in effect for today and for tomorrow until like 8 o'clock tomorrow night. Are we taking care of the people, the seasonal people, and our people that work outdoors?
Everyone always has access to water, heat protection.
Okay,
you know,
but do we let them know that there's a heat advisory in effect?
They get copied on everything.
Okay.
When we get it from the county, they get copied on everything.
Okay. There is a bear roam in the woods on the east side of town, just so everybody knows that.
He was in my backyard.
Yes.
Probably made it to the west side by now.
Yeah, no, he's Yogi. The forensic audit has officially started. That would be an affirmative yes. Okay. Okay, we did that. Okay, now, something that Janine said, Saturday is the open house at the park, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Are those railroad ties going to be gone before Saturday?
Like I said before, we're going to do our very best to get rid of them.
If they're not going by Saturday, then I can't see an open house down there because of what was talked about here, the carcinogenic in that. It's absorbed through the skin. If somebody walks on that with bare feet, they can absorb it.
6:30 tomorrow morning when DPW gets in, they're getting the first call.
Okay. But like I said, if they're not all gone, I don't know how many you have down there. How many you have? Like 210 or something like that?
We took 75.
Okay. But they need to be gone before that park, that swim. And yeah, you got a copy of the development. Okay, thank you. I'm good.
The only thing I have is that I'd like to announce that the Mayor's Book Club has concluded with Taylor Street School. They were required, the first graders, to read 500 books. They really kicked it. They read 717 books. On June 1st, I was over at the school, and I presented them with a check for $1,000 from the New Jersey League of Municipalities Education Foundation, sponsored by Verizon for their first grade library. Should see something in the papers hopefully in the next few days as it all goes out. And that's all I have.
I have one other thing, Mr. Mayor.
Okay.
Congratulations on your primary win yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Did I win? Thank you. Then I would accept a motion for resolution 103-2011 after, say, a five-minute break.
Yeah, I'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, any discussion? All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions?
Make a motion on whatever action. We just discussed the exact. Because you can't take action.
We're not taking any action.
Do we really need to take any action since we didn't change from our decision?
Right.
Well, you just made a decision tonight. That's the problem.
Okay.
You just made the decision on what course of action to take.
Okay,
need
so
to
we
memorialize
would, so I would accept the motion that we will not pay off the bid loan at this time, but we will reconsider at a later date.
That's a very good word.
Okay, so who would like to make that motion?
You can make it.
So moved.
Okay. Second. Thank you. Any discussion on that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Me.
Any abstentions? Thank you. Now let's have a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Thank you all.
Opposed.
Thank you.
Aye.